Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today is Monday, January 14th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Philadelphia Wings lacrosse team is apologizing for racist comments hurled at an opposing player during a home game Saturday night. Wings announcer Shawnee Hill said, "Let's snip the ponytail," in reference to a Georgia Swarm player, Lyle Thompson, who is Native American. In addition, Thompson says the crowd at the Wells Fargo Center started saying the word "scalp him." The team says it is taking disciplinary and educational measures. The announcer issued his own apology, saying he wants to reach out to Thompson directly. Two people were wounded in a shooting just outside of a popular Utah mall Sunday, where hundreds of scared shoppers hunkered down until police arrived to evacuate the building. Two people in their early 20s were shot at about 1:30 in the afternoon near the southeast entrance of the Fashion Place Mall in Murray, a suburb south of Salt Lake City, said Murray police officer Kenny Bass. The man is in critical condition, while the woman was in serious condition. Both were treated at the hospital. Police were looking for three people suspected in the shooting. Bass said the shooting may be gang-related. Shoppers were escorted by police out of the mall holding their hands in the air. The mall is a highly visited shopping center in the heart of Salt Lake City's metro area. Bass says no other victims or suspects were found inside of the mall. A base jumper surviving a terrifying 180-foot plunge from the White Cliffs in France when his parachute failed. Chad Smith, who has completed 230 base jumps, messed up his takeoff when he threw the small parachute known as the pilot chute in the wrong direction. His friend watched in terror as Smith fell nearly 11 bus lengths and suffered 4 broken vertebrae and broken pelvis. Amazingly, Smith won't need surgery, although he will be in the hospital for weeks.
If he says he's going to continue with the sport.
Right. Let's take a break.
I'm going right back to it. Uh-huh. This was your shot, dude. Yep.
All right, in sports this morning. A lot of disappointed Philadelphians this morning. The Eagles season is over. The Saints got two touchdown passes from Drew Brees and two interceptions from Marcus Lattimore in a 2014 win over the Eagles last night in New Orleans. Brees took the Saints on scoring drives of 92, 79, and 67 yards after falling behind 14-0 in the first quarter. The Eagles scored on its first two drives, but after the first quarter, it was all New Orleans. The Eagles kept it close enough, when Saints kicker Will Lutz missed a 52-yard field goal with 2 minutes and 58 seconds remaining, the Eagles still had a chance. Lattimore clinched it when Nick Foles' pass deflected off of receiver Alshon Jeffrey with 2 minutes left in the game. The Eagles will not repeat as NFL champion, and no team has done so since the 2004 Patriots. Foles, the hero of last year's Super Bowl run, got them into position for yet another late winning score, but Jeffrey didn't catch the second down pass in the game, and the season were over. New Orleans will host the NFC title game next week against the LA Rams in a game between the top two seeded teams in the NFC. The top two teams in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots, also advanced to the AFC championship game, and that will be in Kansas City on Sunday. Ben Simmons had 20 points, 22 rebounds, and 9 assists, and the Sixers beat the New York Knicks 108-105 yesterday afternoon in Madison Square Garden. Joel Embiid scored 26 points for the Sixers. J.J. Redick added 22, and Jimmy Butler finished with 16. The Sixers will be back home tomorrow night with a game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Flyers are back home tonight. They will host the Minnesota Wild. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. And for now, the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yes.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. We're ready for a new Word of the Week prize. Got 2 rooms, $200 food voucher, and 4 tickets to see Don Felder, who's going to be playing at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City coming up in April. So that's new. Listen for your chance to win that. We also have more money to give away, and MMR's Go Fund Yourself continues on 5 times a day, Monday through Friday. We have your chance to win $1,000 in cash. And if you just try, you may win $10,000 in the grand prize.
Yeah.
Everybody who texts in will be running in the running for that. So around 8 o'clock, we'll have your chance to win that. We'll get that underway. And we have that screening of Glass tomorrow night, by the way. And I think we got a handful of tickets left, so we'll have your chance to win at some point during today's show. So listen up, because that's one we've been anticipating
yes.
for a while. And hopefully you have been, too. Those things and more coming up on today's program. I have a stack of celebrity stories I want to get to, some breaking stuff and some things that we need to give away with the stupid questions. So we'll go ahead and take a break right now. Come back in just a moment with all of that when we return. Stay with us this morning.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Still. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Still Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Still Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstill.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
For the stupid question this morning, giving away a 4-pack of tickets for the Philadelphia Auto Show, and that's back February 2nd through the 10th. So, easy question for you this morning. What's the nickname for the Canadian $1 coin? 215-263-WMMR. All right, let's see if you know. The nickname for the Canadian $1 coin. Call right now. I have a lot of birthdays today, a whole bunch of them, and a lot of them are music.
Really?
Birthdays. Yeah, Casey, I'll show you the first few in case you have some music ready to go. But the biggest one in the world of music today, it is the big 5-0 for Mr. Dave Grohl.
Wow.
Yeah.
50 for Dave Grohl.
Milestone birthday for Dave today.
Maybe he'll fall off a stage today.
You know, he did the other day.
In celebration.
So why not? But I have a brief history of Dave's career, which I'll get to in music news later on. That guy's impressive, man. He's what a force. And never would have guessed, as Nirvana absolutely ruled the world of rock music, that Dave would be a standout musician to go and have the career that he has on his own.
Early on I was saying, and listen, I completely understand the impact of Nirvana and what it meant to rock, but I'm more a Foo Fighters fan. And when he, you know, was at a similar spot in his career, the Foo Fighters just blew me away.
And by the way, I say Dave on his own. I mean, Foo Fighters are a band, but clearly Dave is the is the creative force in that band, and he, you know, writes, records, produces all that.
And directs Sound City. Yeah. The documentary was excellent.
So happy 50th to Dave today. Also celebrating a birthday from the world of rock, Caleb Followill, singer and guitarist for Kings of Leon. I was actually listening to this song the other day, and I was like, haven't heard anything in quite a while from these guys.
No, and this song, actually, that the album was awesome. They have not been able to sort of recreate that magic.
I went and saw them a year ago, this month, it was last January, and they had a new record that came out the year before that did 8 or 9 songs from the new record at a show, which is tough.
It's hard.
And I like this band a lot. I really enjoy seeing them live, but I'm not that familiar with all of the newer stuff.
And to whip that out an audience is a little weird. I agree.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to do. But they didn't like this song.
They didn't. Of course. And I think was it one of their reps said that needs to be your single?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there you go.
So Caleb is celebrating his 37th birthday today. Also celebrating birthday, a guy who's been here in our studio before, guitarist Zach Wilde.
All right, so what songs does he play on? Because I'm about to pull up Crazy Train.
Pull up Bark at the Moon.
Bark at the Moon.
And he plays a wild, awesome solo at the end.
There he is.
At the end of the song. But this is a good, aggressive guitar part from Zach. And, of course, he has Black Label Society as well. But he was working in a gas station, and Ozzy was having, you know, tryouts. And he tried out, and sure enough, picked him up. And he's, not only is he a great guitar player, he's an intimidating guy.
He looks like a rock star.
He's a big, badass.
Like a biker.
Tough son of a bitch. Yeah. But
Big belt buckles, Preston.
Very, very, very talented guitarist. He's 52 years old today, Zach Wilde. A funny guy, too.
He is.
He's great to talk to. Ex-lead singer of Queensryche, Jeff Tate, is celebrating a milestone birthday today. He is 60 years old today. I did like Queensryche. They actually, for a metal band, they also went into the kind of prog rock, what's the word I'm looking for, concept work with Operation Mindcrime, so I thought that was admirable of them.
I like this song.
It's a good song. Jeff Tate, not really a nice guy.
He was supposed to sing this. He was in the studio, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the promise, too.
I asked him if they'd play it, and he goes, no. And then they moved on to something else, and that's fine if they didn't want to, but, you know, it was kind of weird, but he's, yeah.
You realize you're in Queensryche, don't you?
He can come off as an a-hole, so he's 60 today. And I'm including this one because this is a guilty pleasure of mine is the band White Lion.
Yeah.
Mike Tramp, the lead singer of the band, celebrates his 58th birthday. Is this when the children cry?
Of course.
I like Wait a little bit better.
No, I'm playing this one.
I understand.
The children cry.
But he is...
Throw that into any song.
Yeah.
You got a winner.
58. Oh, man. This is the height of power ballad season in the world of rock music. So here you go. I have a guilty pleasure for this, or it is my guilty pleasure. So. LL Cool J. I like LL Cool J, man. And NCS Los Angeles, man, that show, you know, it
keeps going.
It still keeps going.
Did a couple of movies. Did the Smart Shark movie, right? Deep Blue.
And he is a great host of the Grammys, man.
Honestly, make him the permanent host.
Yeah.
He does a great job.
Yeah. Ladies love Cool James, man. He's 51 today. Actor Kevin Duran. So we get out of the music and into the acting category. Kevin Duran is 45 years old today, and the guy's been in a lot of movies. He's usually a supporting role.
Yes, he's really good.
He's a physically fit guy.
Big dude. He had a run on the series The Strain, Preston, the Guillermo del Toro series, and he was an excellent character, like an exterminator who figured out how to take care of this vampire creature.
I actually watched a movie yesterday that he was in, Real Steel was on.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, he plays kind of a bookie or a gambler, and he's owed money by, what's his name, the lead in the film?
Wolverine. Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman.
It's Monday.
Yeah, he plays a really good jerk, but he's a solid character actor. He's 45 today. Jason Bateman is also, like Dave Grohl, turning 50 years old today. My wife is on she's most of the way done with Ozark. She's on the second season.
She enjoying it?
Yeah, she's loving it. She says it's messed up.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that you're not into it, because I could have sworn that this would have been up your alley for a couple of different reasons. A, it's set in, you know, like your home state.
Yeah, but I spent a lot of time in Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
And in fact, I only watched the first episode. I will eventually get around to it, and She told me about they're right down on the strip, which is my band used to play right down.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So
any chance we'll see the image pop up on that?
Only if they do flashbacks. If they do, then I'll be there on the Tom Sawyer, which
who's that drummer
boat that we used to play on.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. It was the Tom Sawyer.
But I think there's a third season.
Okay. Yeah, it should be. It's done very, very well. But he's great in everything from Horrible Bosses to Up in the Air, Arrested Development, all that stuff. 50 years old today. Steven Soderbergh.
Oh, wow.
The director, a lot of great movies. Aaron Brockovich, Sex, Lies, and Videotape. The Oceans movies, Contagion, and so on.
Behind the Candelabra, Preston.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
One of our favorites.
That's great. He's 56 today. One of our favorite in-studio appearances, Carl Weathers.
Oh.
Apollo Creed himself.
So freaking good.
Yeah. What a nice guy.
He could give a clinic on how to be the perfect guest.
Oh, man. And he's got that delivery when he talks. He speaks like this. Super nice guy. And obviously not only the Rocky movies, but Happy Gilmore and Little Nicky. He did some weird comedy
stuff.
Predator.
Oh, my God.
And I love when you have a guest like that where you want to talk to them about them, and they're willing to answer every question about themselves.
They know how excited you are about their movies and their body of work.
He's 71. The great Faye Dunaway.
Yes.
Turned 78 years old today.
Her most recent claim to fame was the Oscar screw-up. Not her fault.
Yeah.
With Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
And La La Land was given the Best Picture Award accidentally.
But you want to see her in her prime. Bonnie and Clyde, Chinatown, Mommy Dearest.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God!
I mean, that was
psycho.
Like a horror movie for me.
It is basically. And the thing is that she's just chewing up the scenery in that movie, and it's way overdone. But she is a great actress.
That scene in particular, Casey. You know, she had her night mask on or whatever, and they clearly wanted to give it a horror type of feel.
Yeah,
so they had her with that mask on and screaming that she looks. Flat out psychotic.
Well, first she comes in and she's, of course, her big edict is that you can never use the wire hangers. There's always wooden hangers for the fine clothing that she gets to Christina Crawford. And so she goes in and she's got, I think, a bottle in her hand. And she's going through the closet and sliding the clothes over. And then she looks and then slides a whole bunch of her. Oh. And that's when she breaks into that tirade. And eventually she's beating her with the coat hanger and throwing talcum powder up in the air.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
She's 78 today, and then the last birthday from the MMR family, Marissa's mom, Conra, celebrates birthday today. So a big happy birthday.
You know,
to
the
Con.
Story of her life was made into a movie with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, no,
that was Con Air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was close. Marissa, were you leaning into the microphone to say anything?
Just to say happy birthday. She listens every morning. Yay. She actually got a new job and wanted to make sure that I knew that she is in the car listening right now.
Oh, excellent.
So happy birthday.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, happy birthday, Conra. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What is the nickname for the Canadian $1 coin? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I will go to Al and see if he knows. Hey, Al, good morning.
Morning.
Al, what's the name of that $1 coin, please, sir?
It's the maple leaf.
The maple leaf is incorrect. Sorry about that, bud. Let me go next to, let's try Stu. Hey, Stu.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Stu.
What's the answer we're looking for, man?
The answer you're looking for is the loony.
The loony. Loony, loony, loony. Hang on, Stu. You got it right, because the loon, the bird on it, is their national bird, so they call it the loony. All right, hang on. We're going to give you a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show, and the Philly Auto Show is back February 2nd to the 10th, and 700,000 square feet, 700 vehicles, 9 days, all under one roof, and there is nothing like it. And don't forget, you can visit the Philly Auto...
Listen to the loons.
The Philly...
Norman.
The Philly Auto Show.
I'll give you 5 maple leaves to go kill one.
PhillyAutoshow.com for the details. I did get to hear the loons when I was in Maine, and it's pretty beautiful.
They of course they are. They're gorgeous. Yeah.
All right, so at the box office, number one, The Upside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't see that coming. But that shows that Kevin Hart has the power to open a movie.
And Bryan Cranston, yeah. Absolutely. That's I'm happy about that. I went to see some of the filming of it, and I was hoping it would turn into something. So
they changed the marketing. We were talking about that last week, Preston. Originally, when you saw it, it's a more sort of serious film. It's about a guy who's a quadriplegic and his assistant, his male nurse for I don't know what he's referred to as.
Yeah.
And then they in the commercials, it's the buddy comedy of the year.
Yeah, they change it. Okay, they would have used the music, Casey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until it becomes a buddy comedy flick. This movie's not going to sell anything at the box office. But then a young promoter came in. I'm Kathy Romano. We're going to call it a buddy comedy.
That definitely changed it. So I'm curious what the reviews were on that. So
they were decent.
All right.
Yeah.
Aquaman, still way up there in second place.
Do you know it's the only film in the DC universe to clear $1 billion worldwide?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
I think Wonder Woman is a way better movie, but, you know, it shows that it's got legs. In that world, which I'm happy about, which is cool. Dog's Way Home was third, followed by Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse, Escape Room, Mary Poppins Returns, Bumblebee was seventh on the basis of sex. Then you have The Mule and Vice rounded out the top 10.
You know what didn't make the top 10? Replicas.
the Keanu Reeves movie.
Oh, yeah,
Casey's,
yeah, yeah.
You know, remember Casey's, the his theory about the information on the upper part of the screen?
Yeah, yeah, it was like $2.5 million for the whole weekend.
Complete bomb. Worst opening of Keanu Reeves' career.
All right, well, continuing in the world of film, the Critics' Choice Awards were held last night. Taye Diggs was hosting the party, and Roma won big for film, landing Best Picture and Best Director, while The Americans snagged Best Drama and Best Actor. So I'll go through just some of the awards because we're getting into award show season.
Just get bombarded.
If we stop and dissect every single award show, it'll take up all of our programming. But Best Picture was Roma. Best Actor, Christian Bale for Vice.
Yes.
Best Actress was Glenn Close. Actually, a tie.
So the Critics' Choice Awards can have ties. And they had two ties.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
Glenn Close for The Wife and Lady Gaga for A Star is Born. So cool. Best Supporting Actor went to Mahershala Ali for Green Book, followed by Best Supporting Actress. Regina King won in If Beale Street Could Talk. Best Animated Feature was Spider-Man and Spider-Verse.
Yeah, gotta see that.
Best Action Movie was Mission Impossible Fallout. Best Actor in a Comedy, Christian Bale for Vice, so he won twice for him.
So he's sort of an odds-on favorite for the Oscars.
Best Actress in a Comedy, Olivia Colman for The Favorite. And Best Sci-Fi or Horror Movie, I like this, A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Won an award, nice. Which is
super
cool.
Well done.
On the TV side, Best Drama Series was The Americans. Best Comedy Series was The Marvelous Miss Maisel. And I'm not going to go through all the breakdowns of the actors and actresses, but did we have a clip from...
There's a clip of the... There are the two ties. Yeah, there's the one that you just mentioned with Amy Adams and... who else was it?
No, it was Glenn Close and Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
So let's do that one first. Casey?
The Glenn Close one.
Yeah, thank you. Here. All right, here we go.
And the Critics' Choice is... Crazy, crazy. We got a tie. One Critics' Choice Award goes to Glenn Close, The Wife.
I am so thrilled it's a tie. I can't tell you because I was thinking that, you know, the world kind of...
So did they let one person come up and then do it and then they announce the other one?
Yeah, well, so what happened was that when... it was Amy Adams and Patricia Arquette won for a limited series actress. So Amy Adams got up on stage and said, can I read this the tie, who I'm tied with? And it's Patricia Arquette, and she had her come up on stage. So it's a little more informal.
But... They do it, but right now we're on Glenn Close.
Yeah, this one I don't know, but I
guess they do them one at a time.
They do them one at a time,
rather than read them both.
Right.
Each person
pits us against each other in this profession, and I think I can speak for all the women in this room. We celebrate each other.
The other Critics' Choice Award goes to Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born.
I spilled water all over myself, right? I am so honored by this. I went to places in my mind and in my heart that I did not know existed or that I could. Bradley, you are a magical filmmaker. And you are just as magical of a human being.
Wow, she's really, she's caught up in the emotion.
She's torn up, yeah.
Surprised. She's such a well... seasoned, you know, performer.
She called on Joey Carbone. Isn't that her main character?
No, Joey Calderon.
Calderon, that's what it was.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, so that was last night. All right, breaking news.
Well, I'm not ready.
Oh, you don't have to. I guess you have to.
Breaking news.
Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger are engaged to be married. And they just announced it today. Yep, Pratt revealed on Instagram that Schwarzenegger, the 29-year-old daughter of Arnold, accepted his proposal. He wrote, "Sweet Catherine, so happy you said yes. I'm thrilled to be marrying you. Proud to live boldly in faith with you. Here we go." And then he captioned it with a diamond ring emoji.
7 months they've been together, right?
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, the Guardians star began dating her earlier last year, yep. Pratt finalized his divorce from Anna Faris in October.
And Nicholas are very sensitive.
Of last year. And they were married for 9 years. They shared together their 6-year-old son, Jack, by the way. And speaking of those two, Chris and Anna Faris, they have not only managed to remain friends and co-parent their son post-split, they've also been pretty open about moving on. Faris opened up about their post-split approach in a recent episode of her podcast, saying that Chris and I work really hard because we have Jack. That is sort of the long game idea and making sure that Jack is really happy, which makes us really happy.
Well, that's good.
We have sort of the luxury of circumstance. You know, we are both in other loving relationships, but it's like, how do you not get, how do you not in general sink into a place of bitterness? So they've done well so far, and she's probably happy that that he's, you know, going to move on and get married. And
you got to move on. Yeah. So is he, he's in the middle of that Daniel faster, right? You reported that last
week. I don't know how long that lasts, but yeah, I think it might be like a month long or something like that.
Yep. Getting all ready for the wedding. Did they project a wedding date?
Nothing about that. So this is just an engagement announcement. Faris, by the way, who has moved on with cinematographer Michael Barrett, says that despite the downside, she's found a silver lining by re-embracing her sex life. She said, sometimes I'll put on like my short black Bob wig that I have and I play a different character because I'm an actress. I like to play different characters. Sometimes in a romantic situation, she said, I like that it sort of satisfies my sensibilities of getting to be someone else, and it is also like a turn on for a partner. Listen to this. She said, I also like to play really trashy girls because I'm not a great lover. I'm very lazy. Usually, I like to call myself a stripper named Tragedy. It turns me on.
That's pretty elaborate.
Kathy's grimacing to that.
A stripper named Tragedy.
Mm-hmm. So that's who she pretends that she is. And her and Michael Barrett have wild, crazy, over-the-top, uninhibited sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do any role-playing in the bedroom?
No.
Yeah.
I have a hard enough time concentrating on... No, I have a hard enough time being myself as opposed to...
My wife and I reenact Sandlot.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. You're killing me, Claire. he posted, now, by the way, Pratt has been doing some moving with Katherine Schwarzenegger. Maybe this was part of the leading up to the whole... engagement. He flexed his moving skills in a video that he posted to Instagram as he helped her load her belongings into a van. He posted, I love moving. Picking up heavy things and moving them into the back of a truck was my major in college. full disclosure, Pratt did not go to moving college, but he did go to community college for a hot second. Point being, he said, need a dryer moved? Call Chris. Almost anybody in L.A. Has a truck, so every time they have something to move, they call me. Or he said almost nobody in L.A. has a truck. Says, hey, Chris, still got a truck? Oh, hell yeah. Now I have a brand new truck, thanks to... And then he tagged Chevrolet on it. And he wrote, DM me with your location and what you need moved, and I'll be over very soon with my new Silverado. He admitted that he was also shilling for Chevy in exchange for a truck. He said, it's kind of like The Secret, you know? You put it out there, and it happens. So he's having fun, and they're engaged.
You know, it's cool. I don't know which truck has it, and I don't know. They do a dumb commercial where the guys are marching along with their tailgates.
It's GNC.
Okay.
Yeah.
With that extra step on the tailgate. Mm-hmm. You see that thing? Mm-mm. It's pretty cool. So
it's actually like a 6-point tailgate. Like it folds down and down. And yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you can actually just step right up into it's. Why didn't someone think of that years ago?
Okay, so the actual back part of the actual tailgate folds into steps. That's pretty cool. That's a good idea.
That's
Wait a minute, is that it?
No. Well, no. So it's, they're doing all 6 ways you can use it.
There you go. How about that?
Because
that
the way it folds out to steps, you can also turn it into like a little tabletop.
Yeah. Do you guys want to sit?
Or an espresso machine. Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
And it's a bidet right in this setting, Preston.
Anyhow, so they got that going for him. Maybe Chris got one of those Mac Daddies. We'll see. Another day, another royal scandal or two. The latest, Meghan Markle's half-brother, Thomas Markle Jr., was arrested for DUI.
Uh-oh.
And Kate Middleton's brother, James, has revealed his intense battle with depression. Plus, there's been another staff defection from Markle's camp. After news of other top aides leaving amid rumors of her difficult demands, her bodyguard quit after 6 months on the job, according to multiple reports. So Kate's brother James opened up about his terrifying struggle with depression in an op-ed for the Daily Mail. 31-year-old wrote of his darkest days. During the day, I drag myself up and go to work. Then I just stare with glazed eyes at my computer screen, willing the hours to tick by so I could drive home again.
That's horrible.
He wrote, I know I'm richly blessed and live a privileged life, but it did not make me immune to depression. It is tricky to describe the condition. It's not merely sadness. It is an illness, a cancer of the mind.
So people think he's a worldly known good guy, but he's going through all this.
I guess so. James was finally able to recover by relating to the retreating to the country and confronting his demons, he revealed.
Mm.
Now, 52-year-old Thomas Markle was arrested for a DUI in the early hours Friday in Oregon. He reportedly blew a .11, 3 points over the legal .08. He was sent to a detox center to sober up and then was released. And this isn't his first trouble with the law. Thomas was previously arrested in January of 2017 after he pulled a gun on his fiancée, Darlene Blount.
They say this time Prince Charles showed up to bail him out, Preston.
She dropped the case soon after. Then this past July, they got into another argument, which allegedly resulted in Darlene hitting Thomas and giving him a black eye. She was arrested and charged with assault, though Thomas said that he wants the case to be dropped. They hope to marry in March. He recently said that he hopes that Meghan and Prince Harry will attend.
I'm sure they will.
He even told the Daily Mail that he's hoping that
it puts up at the Ramada.
His wedding will bring his half-sister and their father Thomas together after a long estrangement.
It seems like that's going to be the step-off point, his wedding, where the whole family reconciles, right?
In more positive news, Meghan reportedly revamped Harry's diet since the pair met in May. According to royal biographer Andrew Morton, the Duchess is a foodie, and he says she loves cooking, exploring new foods, and experimenting with fresh flavors. Just as Meghan encouraged a helping of culinary adventure, she dramatically changed the contents of Prince Harry's fridge.
Like what? What did they give any specifics?
She never leaves home unless she has hummus, carrots, green juice, almonds, and chia seeds.
Of course.
Chia seed pudding in the fridge. I know.
Oh, yeah.
He's hating this.
She's out of the house right now. Please come over with a pizza.
Chia seeds.
Oh, I'm eating my hummus, sweetums.
Meghan
have
is
you
also
ever eaten chia seeds? They get stuck in every tooth.
Yeah.
You can't worry about what's in your teeth at that point because it's in every single one.
You're all in.
Yep. Meghan has also reportedly influenced Harry to consume less booze and to take up yoga as well. So
he's out of the house. Bring a pizza and a fifth of scotch.
And lay a yoga mat out so it looks like I did yoga.
Yep. Okay, so I bring this up because, listen, I don't know anything about a show called 90 Day Fiancé. Do you guys?
I'm familiar with it. I never watched it.
Any idea what the concept is? Because I don't know.
I think it's from the point of engagement. You are married 90 days later.
Okay.
That's my belief. It's probably inaccurate.
Yeah, I don't. Nick's
I remember when they first started teasing this thing, and I thought that was it. But there's about 9 shows like this.
Nick, can you read the concept of the show, please?
Yeah, using a unique 90-day engagement visa, 4 women travel to the U.S. to live with their American fiancé for the first time. Okay. So that's when they meet, and then they have 90 days to wed before the visas expire.
Oh, so they're from and then out the of the country.
Have to return home. And we are on season 6 of 90 Day Fiancé.
Why don't they just call it green card for crying out loud?
It really is what they should, yeah.
Like, do they actually know each other, or is this like
No, I think they're coming in. That's illegal.
Yeah,
and technically it's illegal, yeah.
Maybe they have some sort of correspondence. Kath, I don't know. But listen to this story, okay?
You know what I watch on Hallmark? I watch Drug Mule. And that's a great series as well.
This is why buyer beware, okay? So 90 Day Fiancé's Colt Johnson has filed for divorce from his wife, Larissa Dos Santos Lima, after her latest arrest, okay?
Yes.
So Johnson submitted the paperwork for the dissolution of his marriage to Lima on Friday, the same day that she was charged with first-degree domestic battery following an alleged altercation with her husband.
I love you.
So Lima posted bail on Friday and has since been released. According to the police department, and this is a quote, he had a swollen lip and his gums and teeth were bloodied of Johnson's wounds after the incident in question. Authorities found the Brazil native at her friend's house where she claimed that the software engineer had physically assaulted her. After cleaning her off, officers determined that the cuts were not consistent with the kind of bleeding she was claiming. She also had scratches on her abdomen, but those injuries were not consistent with the length of Johnson's fingernails. So she must have done
scratching herself.
Dos Santos Lima posted a photo of her bloody face on her private Instagram account before being taken into custody. Colt called the cops on me. We argue, she captioned the picture. She then alleged that the reason for the fight was that the Las Vegas porn star purchased a pornographic movie titled Uncut Jacuzzi Sex with Katrina Moreno.
Uncut Jacuzzi Sex with Katrina Moreno.
Yes.
Huh.
The TV personalities who have been plagued by cheating scandals since December had two previous altercations that led to her arrest.
How could this not work out?
For domestic violence in 2018, once in June, days prior to their wedding, and once in November.
So she has
been charged with domestic assault a couple of times, domestic violence. The charges were dismissed in both of those cases, but this time around,
it was a whirlwind of magic, sounds like.
Doesn't it, though? Tom Hardy and his wife, Charlotte Riley, have welcomed their second child together. The baby's sex and name had not been shared, though E! Reports...
I would like to suckle on your teat, mother.
Little Bane.
That stories... So E! Has reports that stories that the child was dubbed Forrest Gump are false.
Oh, come on. Do it. Name him Gump.
Oh,
Forrest
man.
Gump Hardy.
That's hilarious.
I really should.
Forrest Gump Hardy.
The pair married in 2014, welcomed their first child together in 2015. Hardy also shares Louie Hardy with his ex-girlfriend, Rachel Speed. So they have a new baby.
I like him.
Forrest Gump.
If he has a daughter, I want him to name her Laurel Ann Hardy.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Laurel Ann.
Yes.
I love
Laurel
it.
Laurel Ann Hardy. I love it.
Great name, Casey. Sad news. Filmmaker Joe Andres, who is also the wife to Steve Buscemi, passed away last week.
Yes. 30-plus years together?
Yeah, her cause of death was not immediately known. The pair were married for 30 years, and they welcomed son Lucian in 1990. Services were held last week, and she was reportedly buried in a biodegradable wicker casket. That was her, I guess, her wish, but... I don't know anything about why she passed.
I read the story. I didn't see anything. I did see, however, Preston, that New York Fire Department gave him full honors and gave her supplied everything because he is a firefighter, volunteer firefighter.
Yes. So sad news for Steve Buscemi. Before Kylie Jenner's skincare line gets off the ground, she's running into trouble with trademarks.
Uh-oh.
The Blast reports. The site says that the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office is warning her to make changes to her requested title, Kylie Skin by Kylie Jenner, taking issue with her use of the word skin, supposedly.
What? You can't use skin in a skin product?
Kylie Skin. I don't know why, but apparently they have an issue with the use of that.
So. I guess maybe because not everyone's skin is going to be like hers?
Will be Kylie's skin.
Oh.
Did you guys see the Instagram post over the weekend? I put it up on my stories, but there's just a static photo of an egg. And the hashtag, Instagram handle is world_record_egg. It's just a photo of an egg. That's it. The entire point of it is for it to get more likes than Kylie Jenner ever has. So
like the egg?
Yeah, so like the egg. I'll put it back on my account.
It already
account.
Has.
Did it pass it?
It surpassed it, yeah. It was 18 million, and yes. Then so the egg is... yesterday, it was over 21 million.
All right.
More likes than which post by Kylie Jenner?
Than one of her posts, which was, I guess she has the world record for a post, which was 18 million likes, and now this egg is more popular in one post than Kylie Jenner.
Love it.
You just never know what's going to take.
Yeah.
And apparently this did.
So congrats to the egg.
Hey, congrats, egg. Nice to
hear. It's a brown egg, too.
Hey, Mario Lopez and his wife, Courtney Mazza, are expecting their third child together. The Extra host shared on Twitter about it, and he shared a video of their kids, Dominic and Gia, sharing the good news along...
I'm so excited!
Alongside other life updates. So, congratulations to Mario.
I like him.
Yeah, I do too.
I've liked him for a long time. That I love that crappy, I think it was Lifetime movie where they did behind the scenes of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Really?
It's so horribly good.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. And then finally, Amazon's movie and TV database, IMDb, is launching a free streaming video channel dubbed IMDb Free Dive. and will offer TV shows like Heroes and Fringe and movies like Memento.
All right, so Amazon owns IMDb at this point?
That's what it says. Amazon's movie and TV database, IMDb.
Huh.
So maybe they left out a word here. Maybe it's so here's the deal. It goes on to say that the ad-supported channel will allow users to watch films and TV shows on the website via their computer or on Amazon Fire TV device.
Huh.
So IMDb reaches more than 250 million unique monthly visitors. So maybe it's they left out a word. It might be Amazon's movie department and TV database, IMDb.
It's possible.
I don't know, Steve. I don't know if they own them or not, but so I wouldn't doubt it.
My guess is if you're going to look up something on IMDb and you would like to explore it further, maybe it links through to the Amazon Prime movie and TV database.
It's a subsidiary of Amazon. IMDb.
Okay. How about them apples?
And so it has to be via Amazon Fire TV?
Yeah, or Fire
Q. Or their website.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, got it. All right, let's do clips.
All right.
Got to get everything in order here. Netflix's new series, The Passage, follows a secret medical facility that believes they found the cure to all disease if it doesn't end all of mankind first. In this clip, Sanaya Sidney discusses the father-daughter-like relationship her character shares with Mark Paul Gosar. Here we go.
She's never had a father figure in her life, so to have a relationship and have, like, a man in her life, it's different. It's new to her, and she needs someone to protect her, really. So when she finds him, it's more like, at first you can tell she's, like, getting used to, but when it really happens, she's like, I have no one else to trust, so you're here. I'm here for you, you're here for me.
Yeah! Did they say Netflix?
What's that now?
Did you say Netflix that they were saying it's on? Because I think it's on Fox. Okay.
It says Netflix's new series. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it's on Fox.
Definitely Fox.
Yeah, yeah. That is incorrect. Thank you for the correction, Steve. I appreciate it. Which, by the way, so the book, The Passage, it's a trilogy of books. The first book, which is called The Passage, one of the best books I've ever read, personally. I absolutely loved it. I read it twice, and I'm hoping that it makes for a good series. And I'm telling you what, the girl who was just commenting, her character ends up as an orphan. That's not a big spoiler for you. But in the book, The Passage, the first part of this, there's a story about how she becomes that way. And it is the most clearly written out way that you can see how someone might end up living on the street. I've never and how it can happen so easily,
so quickly
to almost anybody.
I hope that's conveyed in this series.
I hope so too.
It's a limited series.
It is, and I think it's going to have to. But I hope they, you know, like they do cover it real, because I was like, oh wow, that's okay. So that could happen to pretty much anybody.
So let me get this straight. Also, if I mean, in the teasers for it in the trailer, they show these vampire-ish creatures. They seem to be very. They're not mindless animals.
Right.
Are they? Do they possess some?
They're very unique. The way these characters are written in the book, these vampire type.
Well, why don't you call them vampires, Jason? In the in the trailer, why don't you? Well, because vampires aren't real.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, there are some that are kind of mindless, and others that are controlling all powerful.
All right.
But the way these creatures evolve, there's a scene in the book where, like, they're observing these creatures, and they keep hearing this like kind of tinkling noise, and it's their teeth falling out. They reproduce so quickly that their teeth fall out.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like that. I like stuff like that.
It's pretty wild. They have rows and rows of teeth. So anyhow, I don't know if they'll cover it in this show or not, but The Passage season one is now available. It says now available for streaming.
It's not available.
Netflix.
I set a DVR recording for it on Fox.
Yeah, it's on tonight.
Yes.
On Fox, I believe at 9 o'clock.
Suck it.
I don't know why this information is incorrect, but it's called The Passage. We'll do the next clip. Glass reintroduces the audience to David Dunn, who uses supernatural powers to pursue the beast while Elijah Price holds secrets critical to both men. In this clip, Anya Taylor-Joy talks about excitement for the film. Here we go.
She doesn't start trusting until she finds a father figure, which is Will Guest, Mark Paul Gosselaar's character. And when she ends up figuring out that...
Nope. That's for the TV show.
Okay. Did we just play the wrong clips?
I played this.
Let's play the passage. Let's see. This is Shania Sidney.
Here we go.
But it's not really. This is the, okay, so this is
never had a father figure in her life. So to have a relationship and have, like, a man in her life, it's different. It's new to her. And she needs someone to protect her, really. So when...
No, that's from the passage for sure, because she's an orphan and she ends up with the...
This does make sense, though, Preston.
With Mark Paul Gosselaar.
So this is the character, I believe... from Split, the girl at the end, whose father was abusive.
Sounds to, no, her, her let uncle, it play out. Her What's uncle happening? Was abusive. Hang on.
Just let it play out.
Okay. She finds him. It's more like, at first you can tell she's like getting used to, but when it really happens, she's like, I have no one else to trust. So you're here. I'm here for you. You're here for me.
No, that's a little girl from the passage.
I'm so
the f*** is that?
It's okay.
Hang on, let me get...
Okay, to... We have no one else to turn to. Can I trust you? Going through this whole journey, I think she tends to mature.
I think they're both, they're both the same girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're both the same girl, and but they were different interviews. Marissa?
Yeah. Peek behind the curtain. Yep. Today was our intern Felicia's very first day making clips.
Hey.
So I was transcribing them and switching them over. I had some audio issues. And then my whole system blew up last week. So it got replaced, except I don't have access to Casey's VoxPro. So I have to run into the other room to do the clips. So somewhere there's a mix-up. The new Anya clip is over if you want to listen to it right now.
Okay. Let's do that then, shall we?
What?
This is a clip from Glass.
All right. Seeing Bruce James and Sam being epic. And then Sarah's, you know, the new person to this crew, but she's so amazing and she's so great. And I love watching her work. So I'm just excited to see the movie. I'm excited to see these really talented people who are also incredibly lovely do their thing.
Yeah! So is she that? Is that actress the one who was the one kept in the, who escapes...
And from Split.
Under the, yes, and yeah, Split. That's her. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes!
Anya Taylor-Joy is her name. She's
very
great.
Compelling.
She has beautiful eyes.
She do.
Absolutely gorgeous eyes. She's a really solid actress. And Knight has a way of finding these people, you know, who hadn't really been on the radar before.
It'd be
and
cool if we could
off.
Talk to him about it.
I know.
I would love to. Yeah.
But without even trying, he had a surprise ending to our clips. How about that?
How about that?
Back in town, Kev.
The guy's that good. Right, maybe we'll have him on this week.
Yeah, maybe they'll reply to one of my... 10 emails.
All right.
Are you being blown off?
No.
Is
I
it
think,
over?
No, they were in London. They were in London and they're back. So if they're listening, email me back.
All right. Glass Hits Theater, January 18th. We have a screening tomorrow night. You want to go?
Yeah.
Two callers right now, 215-263-WMMR. It's going to be at the Ritz East at 7:30. You need to be there no later than 7 o'clock, and you will get into it before it opens on Friday. 215-263-WMMR. Go ahead and give us a call right now. We'll put you on that list. That's what I have. Told you I had a lot today.
Yes, it was a lot.
Mistakes and all, warts and all.
We made good on everything, didn't we? We provided you with the clips you desired.
The entertainment report. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't forget, money. We have
money.
The, of course, MMR Go Fund Yourself campaign that's taking place, and that is at 8. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We have an announcement. We have a concert announcement coming.
Yes.
We'll get you some of those details on the way in just a little while. That'll be after or bizarre before the Bizarre File, depending on how long we go in this particular segment. Okay. So let's just say it. The Eagles lost. The season is over. I just want to make sure that you weren't responsible for it, Casey. Did you do everything you were supposed to do?
I did everything right. I am fairly certain. You know, when something like that happens, you got to go back.
And check. Did something slip?
No, nothing slipped. I made sure that before midnight hit, I wasn't wearing anything in the opposing team colors. I did What a Crock on last Sunday. I cooked a chicken in the What a Crock. I did the exact same thing this weekend. I did it. I did everything right.
Casey,
I did everything
why did they
right.
not win?
Listen, the Saints are a really good football team.
So no matter what you would have done?
I don't know. It was a good game. It just didn't go our way this time. The only thing I would have done any differently if I were a football coach is I would have let the 2-minute warning hit, and then I collected myself and then...
Right. No, I just meant you as your
But me
your superstitions.
Personally, superstitions.
Your conscience is clean. You did everything you could.
I did everything I possibly could. In fact, when my My sandals are tan. My sandals are tan.
Right.
I couldn't even wear those
things. You couldn't risk that?
That tan was too close to the Saints' gold. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah. Man,
but really,
listen.
You could have because they would have lost it.
Yeah, maybe.
Or so maybe not.
Maybe they would have gotten
blown
out.
Maybe you made a mistake.
Maybe...
Maybe you're supposed to wear your sandals.
God, son of a bitch, I'm sorry, Philadelphia. I'm sorry.
I'm going to set your mind at ease.
Yes.
It's my fault.
What'd you do?
What did you do?
I got my son a signed Alshon Jeffrey jersey for Christmas. He left it at home over the weekend and did not wear it at the beginning of the game yesterday. He'd been wearing it every game since I got it for him, and they had won every game. It's
Nick, that is
really
direct cause and effect.
Honestly, it's my 12-year-old son's fault, and I would like to apologize to the city of Philadelphia for not having him wear it at the beginning of the game yesterday, and clearly it affected Alshon because he only had two drops all season, and then when it counted most, he dropped it again.
You may want to think about leaving town for
I'm going to get out.
No. You don't leave town. You sent him to military school. that's his fault. It's a discipline issue, right?
You're right. You know what? Yeah, you're right.
Better he learn it now.
Right. It's my son's fault.
I did the right thing. I just jumped in quickly, saw they were ahead, and backed out. And that's it.
Yes.
Well, it doesn't work.
It doesn't. Well, it didn't work.
So what did we do? Do we reassess everything now, or is it? I mean, was it always a possibility that the other team could win?
I had a guy email me yesterday. He's like, man, I go and I get the specific coffee and blah, blah, blah. And when I went there, they didn't have that coffee. I said, well, you tell them to put it on and you wait. Yeah. You wait until that coffee's ready.
All the while not knowing the travesty that was going on at Nick's house.
I know. So wait, did he get the jersey at some point during the game? Or
For the second half, because he went home and watched the second half with his mom.
Oh, so wait a second.
I know.
They had 14 points on the board in the first half, and then they scored 0 points in the second half. You should have just let it lie.
Oh, so he shouldn't have put it on at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So you say these things they're a little bit more fluid. So as you're moving along, you have to adapt.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I didn't know that.
No matter what, it's his fault, though, right? I mean, we are sending him to military school.
This is a terrible child.
Well, he's a minor, so you have to kind of have to blame the parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bad parenting.
Well, yeah. we carry. There are people. It's like the guy who was walking out, you know, cursing, for the Bears. It can get a hold of you. But I would say this: the consensus, Preston, if you were watching any of the people and fans they were talking to last night. Everyone was like, we didn't think we'd get this far.
Yeah.
So it was extra added fun that wasn't anticipated. The team played well.
I didn't see anger like we did with that Bears fan last week. You know,
exactly.
People were upset and disappointed, but they were not. I don't think most people went into the game thinking they were going to win. And then they were up 14-0 after the first. And you're like, all right, well, we have a chance. But you knew the Saints were a good team, that they were going to come back and play well against the Eagles.
Yeah, it's worse when it's a game you should have won.
Exactly.
You know, when the numbers indicate that you should have won.
Yeah.
So I think you're right about people, listen, it hurts, but going, okay, listen, we weren't supposed to win this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit easier.
And the salve of winning the Super Bowl, it exists. It sort of helps you get through because they just won the Super Bowl last
season.
It sure does.
It sure. So what was it? With the Pats, the last team to do back-to-back?
Yeah, 2003 and 2004. And
sons of bitches.
It's really hard for any team to repeat.
I got a lot of people texting in that are saying it's either their fault or it's all my fault. I was at a bar watch where the Eagles game is on, and then I went to Applebee's to finish the watch.
Oh, my God. You cannot be anywhere near Flair.
Let's see. This one says, none of you blame yourself. It's my manager, Tom's fault.
Tom! Oh, that son of a bitch.
He bet on the game, never bets on the game. He's a scumbag.
Why would you do anything that you've never done? I bought my mom Eagles Uggs. These beautiful Eagles Uggs. Yeah. And I said, you can't wear these. I got them for her for Christmas.
You can't wear them until next season?
Yep.
Wow. Was she watching, and did she at any point leave the room and perhaps go down and put them on for a little bit?
No, in fact, oh my God, we have a picture of them here in the studio. Yeah, they're like bedazzled and everything. Beautiful,
bedazzled
beautiful.
Eagles Uggs.
They're so great. I didn't even see my mom yesterday.
I like this one. It says, it's my fault. I didn't get as drunk as I did last weekend.
Oh, man.
We did everything that we were supposed to do. We spoke to John Clark on both Fridays. We're prepared to do Barcan today if there was a win.
This person blames themselves because they changed up their pizza bagel recipe.
What?
That they make on football on game days.
You mother effer.
I thought maybe the John Clark thing we might have messed up a little bit because we didn't talk to him when he was driving to the airport. We talked to him while he was in the city.
He was already in the city, but we did it on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's right, Preston. We were idiots.
Yeah.
We were Casey, idiots.
I'm laughing. This is moronic.
I know.
Like, I'm laughing, and Casey is looking at me with his dead straight, I did it. It was me. You know, this or serious look about it. So,
but we all know it was Ben that did it.
It was Ben clearly did it. So, you know. Oh, well. What were you guys doing during the game last night? The diehards, anyway. You just sat at home?
Sat at home and watched it. It was me and my wife and my wife. And my daughter, my son did his part. He played Fortnite in the other room.
My wife was getting mad at me because I jumped over to the game. And said, what are you doing? He said, I can't do this. I do this for Casey.
Yeah.
And I had to explain the whole thing. So we were watching Solo, the Star Wars.
Okay.
And then jumping back. But I was like, you don't understand. I can't do that to Casey.
Yeah, I can't do anything grand until the Super Bowl, you know? So,
are you going to watch any more of the playoffs?
I don't know.
A few years ago, when they lost in one of the rounds early, you actually stuck to not watching. I think
no, it was they had lost the NFC Championship game to the Cardinals,
right?
And
didn't watch the Super Bowl.
It stung so bad that I didn't watch what some say is the greatest Super Bowl of all time.
Oh, and I, everyone, it was pretty amazing. I'll tell you this though. Let me throw this out to you.
Yeah.
So. Listen, I would have loved for them to gone the distance, but you can sort of take a break and breathe a little bit.
It stings.
To watch a Super Bowl, you know, where you don't have a vested interest, you know,
You
still enjoy it?
Well, I have a little bit of a vested interest. I don't want to root against anybody, but I don't like the Saints. I don't care for Sean Payton. Apparently, they were like super tacky in their celebration in the locker room yesterday. I'm not even going to get into that, but if I do have an enemy in that's still in the race,
what did you hear?
It would be the Saints, that they were dancing to Meek Mill as a like a double finger to the Philadelphia Eagles in the city of Philadelphia, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care. What I do care about is Andy Reid, and I would love to see him win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right.
I think it will sting if the Saints win the Super Bowl.
Okay. It'd be nice for Tom Brady to taste some success.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the Preston's principle that you want the team that beats you to win the whole thing?
Not this team.
Then you, okay.
Yeah, all right. not this team. I didn't care for them. So when we won the Super Bowl last year, the Alvin Kamara from the Saints were like, well, we would have won the Super Bowl if we, you know, if the blah, blah. I'm like, well, you didn't. You didn't win the Super Bowl because the Vikings beat you. So woulda, coulda, shoulda, blah, blah, blah.
All right.
And so he started talking all sorts of trash about the Eagles last year when they didn't even make it to the NFC Championship game and whatever.
Sean Payton was kind of a dick to Jamie Apodi. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, and I love Jamie Apodi. She's a great reporter, and she asked him a fair question, and he kind of blew her off in an aggressive, dickish kind of a way. And I was like, I didn't see that.
Not really.
Yeah, and she was just asking him about them running up the score against the Eagles, which they did 6 weeks, or I'm sorry, 8 weeks ago. And he blew her off and I don't know. He was just kind of a jerk to who I perceive to be a nice reporter.
Hmm. Hang on. Brittany has something to say. Hi, Brittany. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up, Brittany?
So I work at Applebee's. And last week you had a guy named Rob call in about a really animated bar guest.
Right, yes.
Okay, so I talked to the bartender. She was there last week. Same guy was there. He was there last night. Totally just as animated. But the thing is, he was dead sober last week and this week.
So he ran around like the story was that during the win against the Bears that he ran around the restaurant into the restaurant part and was super animated and dropping F-bombs and going crazy. This is the one we're talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Same one.
All right. So he was sober that night.
Drinking Diet Pepsis the whole time.
Wow. So you're saying maybe the blame is on him this time around?
I think so.
Okay. So he didn't get as drunk as he did. Okay, I got you. So we have a witness. All right, thank you, Brittany. All right.
No problem.
See, alcohol can serve a purpose.
It's going to be a morning of blaming yourselves, a lot of people, but you don't have to.
I feel that the pain is tamped down a bit, though, because it's we do have the victory, and we have won the Super Bowl, and it's, again... this was like found money. You didn't expect to get this far in the season.
Yeah.
And the way the season started. So I think it's a win, right?
Mm-hmm. The Cowboys also lost on Saturday night. And
that's good.
That's another thing. I think right now you might actually literally have to pull me off of the top of a cliff if the Cowboys were in the NFC Championship game and we weren't. Like But because they're out of it and we're right. out of it.
You can take it better.
I can take it a little bit
better. Not so bad, huh? Yeah. Okay.
Right. Now it's on to the Maroon 5 halftime show.
Well, listen, speaking of halftime show, I don't know if you saw this, but this was going around last week. Some SpongeBob SquarePants fans want the... well, you know that the creator, Steven Hillenburg, had passed away in November. Yes. And one SpongeBob enthusiast has started a change.org petition for a song that was in the second season to be played at the halftime show. It's called Sweet Victory. It's from the episode Band Geeks. And it's, Steve, you'll remember this. It's when Squidward is the band director. And I think his brother or cousin or whoever right. it is, Squilliam, I think his name is a real snob.
Squilliam.
Doesn't think that he's going to be able to put something good together. And they play this really over-the-top anthem at a big sporting event. And so... they're trying to get there were 1.1 million people as of last Thursday that signed the petition.
Do we have any audio of it?
I didn't ask Marissa to get it. She says she's looking for it right now. It's this real 1980s type of anthem.
Right.
You know, it's like a man stands alone. You know, it's this type of thing. It's very, very short, but it's funny. I doubt that's going to be happening. But, yeah, Maroon 5 is going to be... and they announced a couple other people that are going to be a part of it.
Kylie's baby daddy, Travis Scott.
Really?
Do it. Yeah, he made a deal with the NFL. They're going to send some money to some of the social justice causes. Is this it?
No, this is...
Oh, no, this is Zach.
This is He Is the Man, which is from Casey's Kill Casey video that we did back at Y100. Very 1980s end credit song there, our buddy Zach wrote. It's not quite like this, but no. We'll see. But anyhow, you're saying Travis Scott?
Travis Scott, yeah, and maybe one or two other people. So they're fleshing it out. Honestly, I could give a rat's ass. Last year was such a joy, and though I forgot this, Preston, last year's Eagles victory, I didn't start watching until I heard fireworks outside my house. I DVR'd the game.
Oh, really?
And then I only checked in once or twice.
The Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl.
Wow. Okay, yeah. See, even I will watch every second of that.
But I made a promise to Casey.
Okay. All right.
And I thank you for that. The city of Philadelphia thanks you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You see, that's it. I had to really give it up for the city and for the team, and it worked. It didn't work last night, though. I'm so sorry. No.
Have they gotten back yet? Anybody know if they flew?
I was wondering if any fans would go out to greet them because people really embraced and loved this team, yeah. And it wasn't a victory, but there are diehards. It was cold, so I was
in bed. Yeah, it's like 20 degrees.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got back in last night or whatever, but you know it came to an end. It has in many occasions, but
Tell you what though, last time around with the parade and everything. One of the greatest freaking days ever. It was just
Are you
awesome.
Kidding me? That day was a blast, yeah. Man. It was freezing ass cold,
mm-hmm.
But we had Rob McElhenney and we had
Kreischer.
Bert Kreischer come by our live broadcast. we were in a really cool area. It was nice and clear and sunny, and yeah. it was a lot of fun.
It was awesome.
It would have been cool to recreate that whole thing again. So, but alas.
It's not meant to be.
It is not going
Maybe
to happen.
Next year.
Whatever. I have some other stories I could run by.
You Please.
Know, let's stay local because I think Marissa had a great idea in texting over about this over the weekend. She sent us the story that Casey should take the inaugural ride on this. Celebrating its 50th year on the boardwalk in Wildwood, Maury's Pier is going to pay homage this summer to another classic experience at the Jersey Shore town, and it's the tram car. The amusement park the amusement park anarched on Friday that it's going
to
build.
We are happy to anarch a trim perk.
What did he say?
I don't know. I
think he's. It's a major anarchment.
It's a new. family friendly roller coaster, the Runaway Tram.
Wait, family friendly?
The Runaway Tram says family friendly.
Okay.
So it won't be ridiculously
like 80 miles an hour.
Right. Yeah, now we got a great nor'easter.
On Surfside Pier. The tram car itself was originally built for the 1939 World's Fair in New York.
Dude, it is like. It's the best thing. Just watch the tram car, please. Watch the tram car, please.
But that originated in Wildwood. I thought it was Atlantic City.
I don't know.
Well, the tram car itself was originally built for the 1939 World's Fair in New York. The tram cars debuted on the Wildwood Boardwalk in 1949, starting at a dime per ride. And have carried an estimated 20 million people along the Jersey Shore destination since then. I don't hit the shore that often.
Yeah.
The tram carts up. Now, I see more than that are the rickshaws, which I've done several times.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah, just to
you see that in Atlantic City.
You can sit for a little while and take a little ride and
get
where
you're going.
Yeah, more in Atlantic City.
Yeah, you don't see
the tram car.
Yeah, tram cars in Wildwood. They don't have rickshaws in Wildwood.
Okay.
Do you have to pay for the tram car?
You do. I think you could probably kind of how like SEPTA does it, like you can probably buy like a season long pass or whatever. But I forget how much it costs per way.
When I was in Boston a few years ago, up and down, I guess it's Boylston Street, they have rickshaws and they're free.
Free?
100% free. You tip them.
Oh, all right.
But there's zero charge.
Interesting.
I didn't know that. And we got a ride all the way up to. Up to the ballpark and just tip the guy like $5, something like that.
That's pretty great.
Phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Maury's has a couple of different piers, and I don't know which pier this particular roller coaster is going to be at.
All right. I've got the info on it. So the Runaway Tram, a $4 million project, by the way, rise 40 feet. So it's not crazy high, but that's a good,
four stories.
A boardwalk ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before twisting and turning along 922 feet of track, the ride features one train with 10 two-person passenger cars and will require a reconfiguration of Surfside Pier.
Yeah, you said Surfside Pier. I'm just wondering if... See, what I know it is it the one with the giant Ferris wheel?
Right.
Because it's got a great Ferris... One of them has a great Ferris wheel that you can see from miles and miles and miles away that they have, like, all lit up in LEDs.
Do you think there's going to be on that pier?
I'm not really sure. Surfside Pier. Okay, so it's the one that's more north, closest to...
Yeah, the one with the Ferris wheel, I guess, Casey, is in the middle. And then the one with another roller coaster, the Adventure Pier, is the one on the south.
Yeah, so the Adventure Pier has those crazy, like, slingshot rides and, you know, the really...
Do you spend a lot of time? Do you visit there a lot?
Yeah, so... Not necessarily the rides. We actually have season passes for the water park. So
all right.
We go there quite a bit for the water park.
Is that on a different pier? I'm sorry.
No, there's two different water parks.
Okay.
One at the Mariners and one at Surfside.
Gotcha.
Adventure Pier does not have a water park. So, you know, and what we'll often do is just hit the water park in the morning. You know, it opens at like 9:30. And then you can do like 2 hours of water park and then still have the whole rest of your day if you want. I feel like I needed to be on the board down there, the Wildwood board.
You need to be on the planning board?
I do, because I have some really, really great ideas.
Do you have any, you know, anybody? That you're starting to ingratiate yourself into the
I'm trying.
You don't want to do
the collective down there?
you don't want to do that.
I'm just an idea guy, right? So idea number one is what they really need to do is they need to get mural artists down there to paint the gates that go down over the storefronts.
All right.
So when the stores are closed, they put down those metal gates.
It does look horrible.
Well, it just looks terrible. It's like all rusted whatever metal. So if you could do some cool mural-y stuff, I think that would be great. The other great idea that I have is this. So Surfside Pier, Mariners Pier, the water parks, they open at like 9:30, I think. I feel like they should sell separate memberships to people that want to swim laps in the lazy river, okay? So if you could get there at like 7 o'clock,
like a mall walkers,
right. So people like to do laps, not necessarily people don't like to do laps in the ocean because there's monsters and stuff in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you could open it up to people who are swimmers that want to do laps, could you imagine just doing one continuous lap with no flip turns? Like, how great would that be?
And
you know, for anybody that's a swimmer, that kind of. Now I'm speaking your language, but
would you want to go upstream? get a little more of a
workout? No. So they shut it all off, right? So the, okay. So it's not running
at all. So it's not flowing.
All. So it's not flowing. All the tubes and everything
it's
are
all
out
stagnant.
Of there. Yeah, it's just stagnant, gross, algae-filled water.
Come swim the morning quagmire.
I think it's a good idea. So, like, hey, open that swim from, like, 7 to 9.
Hey, listen, places like that are always looking to make a few extra bucks. It would be a matter of being able to send and pay their employees to go in early and open it. Would that be cost effective? And
yeah,
it'd be worth at least trying it out for a season case.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a pretty good idea.
Do you go? You don't go down a lot, right?
Never.
You said you're
not a Jersey Shore guy.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. Yeah.
It's not my deal either. Yeah. I just don't have the time.
If it's not your thing, it's just not your thing. And I know a lot of people that grew up close to here. Like, I have a friend who actually grew up in Upper Darby.
Yeah.
Who doesn't, like, never went down the beach. It wasn't a thing that they do, and now he's sort of married into it. So it's not like he loves it. He tolerates it. You know?
It's interesting for me, Casey, to talk to people like you and talk to Chuck D'Amico, our assistant program director, because now is the time where people are starting to make a lot of plans about the Jersey Shore for the summer. And my friend Brett does kitchens and bathrooms. This is starting to be real busy season for him because they're starting to get into all the prep work that's going into the homes, the rentals, everything that's coming up for the season.
Isn't that freaking crazy? We just finished Christmas.
Yeah, it's middle of January.
And we're setting up our shore homes.
But people are talking about it, and people are talking about where they're going to rent this summer, and that you have to make those plans now in order to be ready by Memorial Day.
Yeah. In fact, it was years ago when we used to rent in Ocean City. I would say to you guys, hey, listen, we need to figure out when we're going to do our summer vacation because we are going to rent in Ocean City, and you have to pick your rental out now because the longer you wait, the less choices you have.
Like, you need a house with exposed wires and bed bugs. and bees if you can swing it.
And noisy ceiling fans.
Noisy illegal ceiling fans.
Yeah. Shoddy electric. Open wires under rugs.
Yeah. A closet that was turned into a bathroom and it's literally just big enough to fit a toilet and that's it.
The only thing I really like idea down the Jersey Shore is the outdoor shower.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's a great idea.
I want one at home.
I do, too.
They're so, it's like freedom.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Just hang a hose over a branch.
That's right.
It's the same thing.
We just don't care for it.
Well, with the addition of the new ride, Maury's Pier is going to have 7 roller coasters as part of more 100 rides and attractions spanning six beach blocks. Casey, by the way, Maury's Pier, is it a ticketed where you get the single tickets for every ride?
Yeah, but okay. I mean, now it's one of those deals where you get the card. You know, you have a plastic debit card or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can also we do the season pass for the
do you ever do Tuesdays with Maury's Pier?
No,
it's depressing.
Tuesdays with Maury's
Pier. Oh my God.
It's very depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody on this roller coaster.
Positive message.
Everyone on this roller coaster is terminal.
Yeah. You come away with some great life lessons, but just depressed as hell.
You're going to cry a lot in the process.
All right.
No. But I was going to. So.
No, what?
No, they're not doing Tuesdays with Maury's Pier?
No. Oh. But they do have specials.
Just no in general.
Tuesdays with Maury's Pier.
I just want to say no.
Yeah.
No to the sea monsters.
I want to talk to the guy who just texted in case he shut up with your ideas. What? Was a great idea.
Those are good ideas.
It was a good idea.
They're good ideas.
Butthead.
You're saying no to that
Dear
guy.
Dear Casey, shut up with your ideas. Murals are stupid.
I'd rather look at rusted cages.
I like sea monsters.
Actually, some murally things.
I like the idea of murals on those.
No.
I think they'll look nicer. What?
That's stupid.
I got distracted, guys, all right?
No. Opening up that water place is stupid.
So your no was to that guy, even though we hadn't referenced it? We had not referenced the text at all? No.
No. Oh, my God. Wow. Wow.
Anyhow, they're looking to open that up this summer. And, I think you should be one of the inaugural riders, Casey. You certainly have pushed Wildwood and North Wildwood of...
I agree with you.
Of being a wonderful place to go to.
Hey, can I borrow $3 million, by the way, guys?
Well,
there's, there's a business I want to buy down there.
Which is?
Well. It's a jet ski wave runner business. They also do like the kayaks and stuff like that. But I also want to buy it so I can open up one of those cool little places where you can rent those jetpacks,
water jetpacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the going price for it right now is $3 million.
It's $3 million, but you also do get a house on the bay. So
okay, wow.
So you actually you went and looked into this a little
bit. Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, go get a loan. Well, we have a couple of things. We're budgeted for a fire truck.
Yes.
A Roadside USA, which is the tiny town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And then were we looking at a tank as well?
I think we're looking at a tank.
Okay.
But it would fire T-shirts.
Right. It would come blowing through the wall at 40 miles an hour. And then just fire chili. And
we could. You know what? Why not? Let's just get the 30-inch guns from the USS New Jersey.
Oh.
And that way we can shoot them to North Wildwood from here. T-shirts for fans that are down the shore.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, that's going to be opening up this. I think it's a great idea. That's a great theme for a roller coaster. The tram car,
oh,
the runaway
absolutely.
Tram car.
It's a piece of history.
That's really neat.
You know, the Goldbergs had, they had an episode where they were on the...
did they?
Yeah, they did. They were down in Atlantic City.
I hate to cut this off, guys, but we got a break because we got to give money away.
We do.
And we got to do it as close to on time as we possibly can. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Not only are we going to have Go Fund Yourself and a chance to win $1,000, maybe even $10,000, we also have a concert announcement coming up, too. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Starting 2019 with a bang. WMMR presents Disturbed indoors February 18th at the Big Joint with 3 days grace to open the show.
MMR's got your shot at a backstage experience to have a few kicks with a pre-show foosball game with the band and a trip to raid the merch booth. Click contest at WMMR.com and let us know how disturbed you are to win this prize. The deadline to get your name in the hat is January 20th.
Tickets on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Disturbed with 3 days grace, January 18th at the Big Joint. Presented by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, let's do Bizarre File and then a concert announcement. Sound
yes,
good?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Worldwide Stereo. Watch Big Game in Style. Shop Worldwide Stereo's special super secret savings on select items in store, on select TVs and home theater receivers. Save over $1,000 and over 50% off in store only. All right, we're going to start with this. Wichita Falls police received a rather unique call Friday morning involving a woman drinking wine in a Walmart parking lot. Okay, fine. She's drinking
wine at
Walmart. But yeah. Employees requested officers to ban a woman from the local Walmart store after she reportedly had been drinking wine from a Pringles can for several hours while riding on one of their mobility scooters that they have there.
So she's riding around on a mobility scooter drinking wine out of a Pringles can.
Yeah. The incident began at about 9 a.m. Friday when officers responded to a call to check on a suspicious person. Police were told by dispatchers that they were looking for a woman wearing a blue jacket and black pants. The woman was reportedly riding on an electric shopping cart, more commonly used for people with physical limitations. And officers were also told she was drinking wine from a Pringles can. The reporting party said the suspect had been riding around in the store's parking lot since 6:30 a.m.
For hours.
While drinking the alcoholic beverage, drinking the wine from the Pringles can. When officers arrived, they found the woman in a nearby restaurant, at which point she was notified that she had been barred from the Walmart location.
So it was in protest.
I guess
imagine
so.
What you have to do to get barred from a Walmart.
There's a lot you have to do. Mm-hmm. And she pulled it off. A 21-year-old man found dead on Saturday in an elevator shaft at a vacant building on Detroit's east side is believed to have fallen while playing a game of hide and seek.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the man was with a group of friends suspected of trespassing between midnight and 1:30 a.m. when they played the game on the ninth floor of the building. Police said the man was running to hide and possibly fell through the elevator shaft.
Oh,
Wow.
This guy's a champ. We still haven't found him.
The group of friends could not find him and left the building. They returned later Saturday morning, and they found the victim's body on the first floor in the elevator shaft covered in debris.
Can you imagine falling 9 stories down an elevator shaft?
Yeah.
That would hurt.
Police described the building as part of the Detroit Packard Motor Company plant. The incident is under investigation. A Tennessee man took his boat to the lake recently to practice for an upcoming fishing tournament and launched more than he expected off of the boat ramp. His Dalmatian, who was in the man's RV while his owner was getting the boat ready. So he's out of the vehicle.
Yes.
He's in the back. The boat is already pulled down and resting. You know, it's sitting in the water. The trailer is anyhow. And apparently the dog knocked the vehicle into reverse and sent it in for a swim.
You got to see the footage if you guys can look this up.
Eric Jackson said when his RV started backing into the water, it came along with him. His 2-year-old dog, Bodie, was in his 38-foot RV while Jackson was in the boat on the boat ramp and accidentally stepped on the gear shift switch to send the RV rolling into the lake. A group of people who were also on the water caught the whole thing on video. From the RV's reverse lights coming on to Jackson running around, flinging the door open and trying to stop the impending flood in his vehicle. But by the time he got his foot on the brake, the back wheels were already floating. The group that filmed the incident also helped Jackson get the RV out of the lake after it sailed away from the boat ramp and didn't say how much damage there was to the inside of it. So
sucks. There's a side shot of the dog, Preston, up in the front of the RV, and it's like, you know something bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So he goes, it goes in the water. This thing's huge with his name on the side of it. He's a professional fisherman, and It just didn't get it in time. We're watching the video right now. Yep. So
Jesus,
sucks. A driver in Manitoba, Canada, tried to excuse his speeding by telling police officers that he had been listening to Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart at the time of the offense.
Ah. Right.
The glam metal band's November 1989 single, which featured on their 5th studio album, Dr. Feelgood, apparently came on the radio in the driver's car just before he was pulled over by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
All right, solid, bro. Be on your way.
Which the driver then tried to use as justification for his speeding. A post on the RCMP's Facebook page confirmed the incident, which saw the driver, who was driving at about 90 miles per hour, being fined $639 for the offense. In his defense, this is a fast driving zone.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
Also, if you're out on long and winding Canadian rural roads, yeah, you might lose track of your speed.
So, the unnamed driver, by the way, according to the post, the officer who pulled over the unnamed driver,
yeah, yeah,
was also listening to Kickstart My Heart at the same time as they were both
become best friends.
Yup. They were tuned into the same radio station at the same time.
Wait a second. What's your favorite dinosaur?
Velociraptor.
What's your favorite non-porn magazine to pleasure yourself to?
Good Housekeeping.
If you were a chick, what guy would you want to be with?
John Stamos. What? Did we just become best friends?
Yup.
The incident brings back memories of an Andrew W.K. fan who was also fined for speeding in January of last year.
Yeah.
And later claimed that they had been inspired to go over the speed limit by listening to one of W.K.'s songs. Andrew W.K. offered to pay the fine, telling the speedster, "I was responsible for the sonic party power that caused you to speed."
I tried to use that excuse in 1992 when I got pulled over on Swedesford Road. It was not Kickstart My Heart. It was We've Got Tonight by Button. No, it was Panama by Van Halen.
It's another good one.
And the officer just smiled and nodded his head and handed me the ticket no matter what.
He handed you the ticket?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I deserved it.
It's the power of rock.
And then finally, a father and his 2 children ended up in the hospital Wednesday afternoon after he hit a power pole while doing donuts in the parking lot of former Kmart.
That's not good.
No. The man, believed to be in his 40s, had just bought the Pontiac G8 GT. He was doing donuts, driving in a tight circle at high speed when he apparently lost control and hit a live power pole. The pole crashed to the parking lot, by the way, in the incident. So, in his defense,
yes,
it had snowed.
Oh.
So, you know.
And he was listening to Motley Crue.
The pole crashed to the parking lot. Police said the man... The man and the children, one of whom is in a high school age and the other one younger, suffered non-life-threatening injuries.
Whee! That's what I get to do!
And he will be cited for reckless operation. So he did end up getting a ticket. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. All right. Are we ready to do a consternation case?
Yep. The excitement is building. Can't take it.
This is another show that's coming up in the spring slash summer. It's getting into that territory, and it's going to be an outdoor show. Mm. This is a big one. This show is going to be at Citizens Bank Park on May 25th. MMR is proud to rock the Who. Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey, and company will be performing on Saturday, May 25th at Citizens Bank Park. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. And one Mr. Pierre Robert is going to have a pair of tickets to give away each day this week. So you will want to listen in.
I just watched The Kids Are All Right.
Oh, yeah?
I'm in massive Who mode now.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
I saw them one time. I saw them at Madison Square Garden, and phenomenal. Phenomenal.
It's what
show.
You want, right?
It's what you want.
You want the Who, you get the Who.
Roger can still scream his head off, and the music is just so great. And they have so much as far as of their volume of material to choose from to put on a show. So it's all good. Pierre, like I said, is going to have tickets give away each day this week. So to reiterate the particulars, Saturday, May 25th, Citizens Bank Park, and tickets on sale this Friday, January 18th, 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. So the Who is coming back to town.
That's two concerts in a row at the ballpark, one night after the other.
You know what? You're right. Billy Joel is the night before.
On that Friday.
That's going to be a lot of work for Citizens Bank Park.
But what a great Memorial Day weekend for outdoor shows.
Yeah. That's right.
No kidding, man. All right.
And then they're all going to come down and see us at Keenan's.
Yes. Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Billy Joel and Pete Townsend.
Imagine if we got those.
To the beer mile with Pete Townsend?
Absolutely. Be awesome.
Nice. All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break.
None
we'll come
of,
back in just a moment. And stay with us because we got more to come, my friend. Oh, you know what?
What?
Wait, what?
What?
You got like a few seconds left to enter the word. I want to mention that one more time for MMR's GoFundMe. The word is green, G-R-E-E-N. Do that now through the WMMR mobile app or through WMMR.com. Now we can take a break.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
Just to reiterate, we made a concert announcement. The Who is coming to town. They're going to be playing at Citizens Bank Park. And as Nick pointed out, that's back-to-back shows because it's going to be May 25th. The 24th is Billy Joel. at Citizens Bank Park.
That's two huge shows.
So they got to clean it up, get all that crap out of there, and then reset it up for another big one the next night.
I guess in some aspects it's actually good because they have it set up for concert status, but you still have to move all of one person's equipment out and then bring in the Who's equipment.
Yeah, so tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. We were in the break and the song was about to end and I said, you know what? I'm thinking about bringing up something personal.
Yes.
On the air. And so I will mention this. I am halfway through Sober January.
Sober January. Yeah. And so you've not been drinking.
That's for you.
I didn't mention it to you guys. And that was part of kind of Casey's, when Casey abstains from any vices, he's hesitant to share that that he's going to do it. Or in the past you have been, for, you know.
Well, you know, it's also like.
Because if you don't make it, then.
Like with cigarettes, you know, like that's like the big ones. Like, you know, because people would like to say, I quit smoking or I'm quitting smoking. Oh, I'm you know, 1-2 days without a cigarette. And I just know how difficult it is, especially for something like that.
Yes.
I was like, you know, I don't want to say anything, just on the off chance
so
that I don't make it, you know?
I know a lot of people do like Sober October.
Just because it rhymes with sober.
I think so.
Well, January is because you went through
all the partying for the holidays.
You need to cleanse yourself at some point.
Yeah.
Everybody should, really.
Like, Sober October is like that Joe Rogan, Burt Kreischer, Ari Shaffir thing.
Yeah, that's where I'm remembering you from. You're right. You're exactly right. So that's pretty good. How do you feel?
Great.
Yeah.
I feel freaking awesome.
Do you? Yeah.
I swear to God. It's pretty wild. So, and trust me, now, I'm not doing the whole month because my birthday is on the 25th.
No.
Daddy's drinking that night.
Yeah.
I got too much. My bourbon collection's too big. But I have thoroughly enjoyed waking up in the morning and feeling good.
Do you know it's funny because...
Man, there's a lot to be said about that.
I celebrate that for you. And I don't know. I've never had the other, so I've had only what I've had.
But you've woken up hurting. You've woken up sick or like dealing with...
So
with
would that be similar? Like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you had a terrible night's sleep because you were ill, Steve, or you were coughing, or you had,
overly tired,
phase six or whatever, you know.
Okay.
Add a headache to it, though. Yeah, add a headache and add not wanting to do anything and basically wanting to die.
And you're dehydrated and, you know,
okay. All that. Well, then, and you, so you feel energized and better?
I feel tons better. It's so funny.
Well, you know, alcohol is a poison, you know, as you're putting into your system. Yeah,
but last night wasn't as fun, you'll have to admit.
What?
Because you didn't have a drink.
I wouldn't. I don't do it on Sunday night.
No, but, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
It's the Lord's Day, Kathy. It's the Lord's Day.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm glad you brought this up because I actually wanted to ask you guys for something. I wanted to
intervention.
See,
are
no,
you?
No, oh. Not me. Well, yeah, kind of. I wanted to see if you guys would do a Last Supper for me because I'm going to be pretty open about this. But I'm starting a new weight loss program through the station, and you'll hear about it. You'll hear about my journey.
Okay.
So yeah, I think Wednesday is when we're starting. I have to go out to the it's called B Balance weight loss center.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm going out on Wednesday, so I'm not sure if I'm starting Wednesday or am I starting. I'm not sure, so maybe we could have a Last Supper before we do.
Are you
that.
Allowed to drink?
I'm
you're not allowed to drink?
I'm anticipating not being able to eat much.
Okay. Well, you know what? I've heard of this program. I think you'll actually be able to eat a fair amount. But if you'd like to, we can maybe plan something.
No, I'm joking. But
do you want a keg in here for you, Preston?
Mm-hmm. No. I got a little ways to go.
Yeah.
But the whole reason it wasn't sober January that I decided to back off a little bit. It was actually an article that I saw. And number one, I just didn't even drink on New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't feel well. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do this to myself. You know, because normally I would have been like, it's New Year's Eve. You got to drink no matter how you feel. But I saw this article of something I had never heard of before, and it's called Sober Curious. And because everything that I see, look, I like to drink alcohol. I enjoy it. It doesn't impact my life negatively.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't feel chained to it. I don't feel like it's a real issue. And putting on a buzz is a damn good time to me. So yeah. I will continue to do it. But when you hear the word sober, it's usually associated with everything. Stop it now. Don't ever touch it again for the rest of your life.
Right.
I don't like that. That doesn't apply to me. But I heard of this thing called Sober Curious, which I had never heard of before.
It's like Bi-Curious.
It's a lot like Bi-Curious. Sometimes you want to suck it. No, I mean...
sometimes you want to use it.
No, but it apparently helps rethink your relationship with alcohol. So you can still drink. You just reassociate your relationship with alcohol. And I was like, you know what? That's intriguing. I never really thought about that. So just for fun, I've decided to... this month, not drink until my birthday. And I went that first weekend and I woke up on Saturday morning. I'm like, this is new. Because my
I can hear things.
My sleep is always interrupted for one reason or another. Monday through Friday, it's a 4 a.m. alarm clock.
Right, yes.
And then Saturday and Sunday would be the fact that you don't really get a good night's sleep if you've been boozing. Even if you sleep in late, it messes with your circadian rhythms and all this other stuff. So I'm like, all right, what's it going to be like to finally get a good night's sleep? And because, listen, I'm a Friday, Saturday drinker. No question. Without question, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to have beers. I'm going to have bourbon, whatever it may be. Put on a little buzz, a little adjustment. It feels nice. So so to the past couple of weekends, waking up and raring to go.
It's remarkable.
It's pretty damn good.
Is it like in the Twilight movies?
Pretty freaking good.
After you become a vampire, you can suddenly run faster and you can hear the insects and all that stuff. And
I immediately get up and exercise, and I've been getting so much stuff done around the house.
That's what I was going to say. The lack of alcohol leading to exercise is an amazing thing. And all of this is so... it's so obvious, you know, and when you figure that you're not going to drink for a little while, and then, but to the drinker, and I'm one as well, Preston, when you stop and then all of a sudden you feel sober and you feel better as a result, you're like, oh, oh, this is why everybody says you should give up drinking for a little bit. And well, it makes perfect sense.
You're talking about little periodic purges, little periodic fasts?
Yeah.
To just sort of reset your clock?
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe, how about not drink for no reason? Yeah. You know, or something like
Unless it's one of our beer sponsors.
Or reassociate things about when you might want to partake. Marissa?
I wasn't going to tell you guys, but Kathy and Preston just inspired me to let you guys know that I've been doing Sober January as well.
Oh, okay.
With exemptions for the football game.
Oh, Jesus.
There's only been three.
It's playoffs.
Those don't count.
It's day. So, you know, I started on the second and whatever.
That sounds legit.
Yeah, yeah. I feel no different whatsoever.
Really?
It's because you haven't done it all the way.
Well, I've done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Here's the only place I notice it. When I go out to eat, my bills are like half the price.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, but you don't feel a difference in the morning. When you've gone out for a drink or two, you don't feel the difference waking up in the morning.
No, I'm a responsible drinker.
Well, wait
a second. I have one glass of wine. If I have one glass of wine at night, I wake up the next morning and I feel different. Like, I know I've had a glass of wine that night before.
All right.
Especially white wine.
What's your, are you doing like sober, instead of sober happy hour, sober happy half hour? Or
No, Steve, literally, I go out to dinner now. Like, that's what my friends and I do. Right. We go out and meet for dinner. And like, I sit there now and I'm like, I don't know what to do now.
How often do you go out for dinner?
Like 4 or 5 nights a week.
Times a day?
Yeah.
Well, now, you're a foodie. Just,
the line of Trader Joe's is so long, I'd rather just go out and grab some dinner.
I got you, yeah. No, so I think any time you can reset like that is good for you. And obviously, you're singing the praises of it. You feel great.
I love this line. I hadn't heard this before. It's not drinking alone if the dog is home, is it? that's interesting. No, but it's... I tell you what, man. I've noticed a world of difference. And I've found so... You know, on the weekends, I would usually set for, like, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on a Friday.
You'd start drinking at 7.
Or Saturday. Yeah, I'd wait till then. I'm like, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to get whatever I need to be, whatever needs to be done through the day.
Yeah.
And now we can all sit down and chill. All right, time to crack open a beer and then 4 or 5 more, however that may be. Yeah. And then a couple bourbons. but anyhow, I've found that finding some other stuff to do. I've been filling the time,
yes,
and keeping myself a little bit busy.
What creative things have you?
Nice.
What have you gotten into?
Oh, nothing creative. I've just been doing stuff around the house, and you know those gazillion things that you need to do that I never get around to doing.
You've been playing your guitar
a little bit, yeah.
All right,
but I had kind of not planned on doing this. I think I told Nick. I said, man, I saw this article, and I'm already a few days of. Not having anything so far this year, so why not just kind of put it off until my birthday rolls around?
There's a book that goes along with it, Preston, and the author's name, the article is Sober Curious, and that's the same name of the book, and the author's name is Ruby Warrington.
Okay.
And it came out last year. The Blissful Sleep, Greater Focus, Limitless Presence, and Deep Connection awaiting all of us on the other side of alcohol.
Yeah, better sleep.
Yeah.
And you have a Sleep Number bed, so you're already poised.
Yeah, so I'm like,
Mount Olympus now.
Yeah, hang on a second. Let me go to Aaron. Hey, Aaron. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Aaron?
Yeah, I just wanted to. I was kind of comment on what Preston was saying about drinking responsibly, just because you like to have a fun.
Yeah.
Which I completely agree. So I grew up in Levittown.
Wait, hold on.
Functioning, I think.
Oh, functioning alcoholics. Yeah. I thought you said I know a lot of effing alcoholics.
No, functioning alcoholics.
Why do you gotta associate Levittown with that?
So basically, like, I mean, yeah. So I'm in school. I'm going to Temple. I actually just missed my train, so that's why I'm calling you right now. So I like to get buzzed, but I believe you can do it responsibly. And when I drink, I have to drink. I can't just sip. So I will plan out my drinking. So I just got off break, and I don't plan on drinking until St. Patty's Day, which is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
So it goes like, I mean, again, it just goes in waves because, again, I like to be drunk. I like to drink. However, there's only a limit. I'm either, it's all or nothing when it comes to drinking. And again, it's drinking, a buzz is fun.
Yeah. Enjoy it, but you're just saying on a personal level, you take a break and just sort of reset so you don't you feel a little bit more in control. Clarity. That I think that's totally fine.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, but I did, you know, a lot of people do the Sober January thing, and that wasn't what motivated me, but this other thing. And Kathy, in this Sober Curious thing, I was talking about reassessing your relationship with alcohol. And one of the things that it recommends you do is your mom's one drink, one water. Yeah, totally.
Perfect. I did that yesterday.
I thought of your mom.
One drink, one water. Yeah. How to work through this particular thing?
Well, just as a way to change it. I mean, to reassociate because some people, when you are socially, it's quite literally just having a beverage, no matter what it is, in your hand and sipping on it as kind of an oral fixation. And if you drink, you know, a beer or whiskey or whatever it may be, and then the next one is water, you still keep that kind of that motion and that need going.
Yeah, so, yeah.
There's a commercial now. I think it's Crown Royal that does it. They run it during football season where they, they're trying to promote
responsible drinking.
Drinking. So they have a referee come into the bar, blow a whistle. All right, water break, everybody.
I like that spot.
And everybody stops drinking, and then they all drink a glass of water, and then, all right, now you can resume doing whatever you were doing. And I've never seen anything like that before. So,
no.
And that's like Kathy's mom's one drink, one water.
Interesting. Hang on a second. Let me go to Tori. Hi, Tori. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you. Tori, what's up?
So I actually have been cutting back on my drinking a little bit, not completely, but I am like known as one of the people in our group that always likes to have a glass of wine and like have a buzz on at, you know, gatherings. And among the side effects of cutting back on my alcohol, I have noticed better sleep, losing weight, and also all of our friends thinking that my husband and I are pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So you have wine in your hand that often that people, the moment they see
you
without,
pregnant.
Without a wine glass in your hand.
Yeah, there's something wrong if I'm not drinking. Evidently.
All right, that's funny.
So you're probably getting the same thing. People must think you're pregnant.
No, I'm just not going out. I'm not going out right now. Like, there's an event coming up. It's like a beef and beer. I told my wife, I'm like, is it okay if I not go to that? You know, just for this month or whatever. Because what I would like to do, I spend more time being non-social than maybe my drinking time should be when I am social. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Well, you can also be the designated driver if your wife wants to go and have a couple of pops or whatever.
Well, she quit drinking, too.
Oh, that's right.
Because she couldn't. It was giving her insomnia. Like, she would stay up and could not get sleep. Was having, you know, hot flashes and stuff like that. So she quit altogether because it was just making her miserable. So now I'm the lone drinker.
Just tell her it's a phase. It eventually will go away if you keep drinking.
We know people you can talk. A two-drink intervention.
Yeah. Well, no, because I went through the same thing. It would literally keep me awake all night long. I think it was the sugar. That's what it had something
the
to
sugar
do with
was
the sugar.
It was an energy
I think
rush.
So.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't know, man. It's pretty wild.
That or a drinking problem.
So I've done. Jackie Bam Bam's worried about you, by the way.
He's like, oh, man, she's always drinking wine.
You know, really sure worried she's drinking wine. Mm-hmm.
Did he call you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Not true. What does your shirt say today, Kathy?
Oh, yeah, mimosas. Well, that's like a carbonated wine. It has orange juice in it, guys.
It's healthy. Yeah, vitamin C, guys.
And it's not just wine. I love tequila now, too.
Yeah. Have you turned into a tequila drinker?
Yeah, I told you that a couple of months ago. Yes, I'm enjoying tequila a little more than just, I mean, obviously I would have it in margaritas, but.
And cereal.
Now with my cereal, it's, no, Case, I won't sip it straight, but maybe just like club soda and lime, but it's starting to make its way back into my life, which is great.
Yeah, no, tequila is a good, that's it. Definitely.
Do you ever do the tequila enemas?
I don't do that.
That is a good booze. I highly recommend.
Wow.
And there's a lot of tequilas out there now.
So. I often feel that I miss out on a lot of this, but then I also hear about the downside, which is you're saying the waking up feeling sluggish and all that stuff. And I don't have that as well. But sometimes you see somebody saving, like you, Preston, a good bourbon or whatever it's something nice and all. It's wild that I just never did, and it was never because I was like opposed to drinking or in any way. I just didn't like the taste of it. And I would always get a bit of like acid reflux from it.
Well, is there a part of you that doesn't like the idea of being out of control?
That's a big part of it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and you can see that from time to time on people where they have zero control over their decision making.
Yes,
if you see that and you're like, okay, I don't want to, I could end up like that and I don't want to end up like that. There's a lot of people out there like yourself, Steve, that have never
right.
Had a drink for that very reason.
I haven't been drunk since New Year's, Preston, and so I'm sort of in the middle of it as well. But I did, over the holidays, buy myself a treat, which I don't know if you ever drank or liked Zambuca. But
never did, no.
My dad drank it growing up, and so I really like it. It's an after-dinner drink, but it's right now it's sitting in my fridge. So now I'm going through this sober October or whatever version of it. Yeah. Nick. It's calling to me. So I open it. It's right behind the milk. And I'm like, oh, man. And a Saturday night when you're sitting there, you just pour it over the over the ice. And
hi, Sambuca.
Dude, I got for New Year's Eve, which I told you, I ended up not drinking, and everybody kind of bailed right after midnight. I've got two cases of beer in my fridge, in my garage. I got so many bottles of bourbon for Christmas.
They kind
of
stare at you.
It's all just sitting there.
Yeah. They call you.
And I'm telling you, and I've said before, Nick, that first, when you open that first beer.
When it first touches your lips.
That first taste of beer.
So good.
Is so yummy.
So good. I'll do one.
I don't know about you, but I take a big sniff of it before.
Oh, yeah, you're doing all the right things.
Stick my nose down in the bottle.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
Like that mead that the guy drinks.
Oh. And
yeah. Preston, you put a little bit on your finger and dab it behind your ear.
Take a sip. Oh, it's good stuff.
So
good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a several senses all at once that if you actually enjoy it and aren't just drinking to get drunk, but when you start it, when you have that first couple of sips, it's fantastic.
And on Monday, January 14th, 2019, sober January ended.
Take off your glasses, look at the clock.
I'm taking it out for a spin.
All right.
To your birthday, right?
Yeah,
and your birthday is
the 25th.
The 25th.
Yeah, so that's close enough.
Yeah, listen, that's fine.
So listen to this.
All right. It's 11-day.
I was sitting in the living room talking to my wife about to bring this up to her, and I was hesitant because I go, hon, I'm going to try something. I said, and I'm hesitant to even mention it in case I change my mind in the middle of it. And I said, I'm thinking about not drinking until my birthday. And I hear from the other room, my daughter goes, that's not that long, Dad. I didn't even know she was listening.
Wow.
And what was my retort? I wasn't talking to you.
I think what you should have done is should have sat Rochelle down and said, I'm thinking of not drinking in front of my mistress. Let her process all that.
So anyhow.
Well, I've
been enjoying it.
Yeah. I honestly, I wasn't going to talk about this until next month, but I'm actually coming up on 7 years sober.
Seven years sober?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty crazy, right? And I didn't talk about it. And honestly, me saying that right now, I think is only the third time I've ever said anything like that on the air.
Is next month officially 7 years?
7 years, yeah.
Holy, well, congratulations.
Yeah, so I've had,
that's awesome.
6.5 sober Januaries, Preston.
Wow.
Followed by like 6 sober Februaries and sober Marches and Aprils.
Yeah.
And so when you were talking about Sober Curious, I wasn't sure exactly where that conversation was going, because what I have found often is that when people do find out that I'm sober, they always turn it around on themselves and they go, oh, man, I couldn't do that. Or I would love to do that. Oh, man, I should do that. And, you know, so I was wondering if that's where that conversation was going.
I don't follow you. Meaning?
Other people being envious and not being able to do a sober January.
Yeah, because I haven't been hungover in almost 7 years.
So people do an assessment and ask themselves if they could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you basically did say that, Preston. You were saying, I wonder, you know, that you're intrigued by it. I wonder if this is something that I could do and commit to.
Yeah. Listen, I understand that it affects people differently.
Yeah.
In different ways, and you can turn into that evil jerk and not remember things and do some things that you're ashamed of and embarrassed. Like we had Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Had tweeted out. He's been sober for a few years, and he had specified one particular night where he just went evil and doesn't remember anything, and his buddy had to bring him up to speed the next day. And then there are those who can imbibe and not have it get its claws
drink
into
response.
You.
Yeah, yes, yeah, that, yeah.
And I feel fortunate to be one of those people because I like doing it.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it and it is a problem, is it saying bad that I feel bad for you? Or, I mean, is that a bad thing?
No.
That I feel bad for people who can't, because it can be enjoyable.
Yeah,
I
know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't judge at all. So, like, you know,
yes.
I had actually planned on kind of saying this on February 20th, and I wanted to preface it all by saying,
you know, I'm not the poster boy for this,
yeah.
And you know, and I'm not the you know, the judge, the jury, or any of that sort of stuff. It was something, you know, I had never been in trouble with the law or anything along those lines. It was just for me. It was time to, you know, the party was over.
The party was over.
What
Bam yeah. just said, we were yeah. reporting the Bam story, a similar thing. I don't know how resolute, I hope he is, but yeah. Yeah, it's that same thing.
But, Press, well, when you were mentioning, like, not wanting to go to that beef and beer, I totally understand that. Like, you know, so for at least the first year and a half, 2 years, like, there were a lot of things that I just didn't want to go to. I didn't want to, you know, be a part of. And even, like, now, there's a certain... When I go to certain events, there's a time where I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go. You know, yeah. There's usually a switch, usually around, like, 10 to 11 o'clock where it's like, okay... I don't belong here anymore.
Yeah. I'm no you know longer I mean? Going to be able to have conversations with these people.
Yeah. I did that. I was just shy of 2 years that I didn't drink because I was doing an elimination thing to see if my migraines were a cause, if booze was a trigger for my migraines, which it can be partially. It can definitely make them worse. And the migraine is separate from a hangover. It's definitely not the same. Trust me, I know the difference. But I did it for a few months and I realized, no, it's not a trigger for my headaches. But I'm like, you know what? Let me ride this train for a little while and see what it's like. And being at parties and stuff like that, when that threshold is crossed,
mm-hmm.
when all of a sudden everybody's hammered,
yeah.
it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But it also gets old kind of quick. And one thing you don't realize is how much your breath smells like booze
yeah.
to a non-drinker. I mean,
it reeks. You're speaking my language.
Sure.
Because and then over the years, though, I think people have labored under the misconception that if I'm out at a party where or at any event where people are imbibing and having a good time and are drunk, that I'm not going to have a good time with them. I just adapt,
yeah.
you know, but there does come a time yeah. occasionally where I might as well be a translator at the United Nations because yeah. I have no idea, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
And it becomes a little bit more difficult.
Well, it's funny. I just saw a text come over. It said, I saw Casey drinking at spring training last year.
No, you didn't.
I don't know what
that
you thought
Nick.
You saw. That might have been. I don't even think that was Nick. I don't think Nick was drinking in spring training last year.
Actually, you're right. I wasn't.
As a matter of fact, my friend lives in Indian Springs down there. I was his designated driver.
Yeah. Remember
so that. I had to drive his truck to Indian Springs. And
How often do people project something like that towards you? I saw Casey drinking last week at the mixer.
Not often, but it doesn't matter what you think you saw or what you're going to project because I know in my heart what happened.
Yeah.
So last year at spring training, I drank water, a lot of water, and a lot of Diet Pepsi.
So you were drinking.
I was drinking.
Technically,
I was drinking.
But I'm doing this. Part of why I'm doing this is also just for physical fitness, just to rehash. I mean, it's stereotypical to do it. You know,
in January.
Yes.
But I'm doing it anyway.
You're just resetting.
Outside. I'm inside exercising and eating better. And listen, talk about loading on calories. Dear God, booze, big time.
Heavy calories.
Yeah. So that's why. That's part of the reason I'm backing off on that. But who knows? This might change my outlook on it altogether. And it's a little less every now and then. Or I might go back to Friday, dude, getting effed up. Cannot wait.
It's the well, you can handle it, and those options are there for you.
Yeah. Speaking of, we were talking about getting rest. I did see the story, and if you take any prescription sleeping pills,
yeah,
a recent trial of one of the main class of prescription pills, half the participants slept through a fire alarm as loud as someone vacuuming next to their bed.
That doesn't sound safe.
No.
All right. So you have like Ambien. What else is there out there as far as...
Coma.
Coma.
I'm sure there's a ton.
Coma is very powerful.
There's a brand new study that finds a newer alternative medication preserves the ability to wake up in response to danger signals. Researchers Kagoshima University in Japan found mice given the experimental hypnotic drug Dora 22 wake up as quickly when threatened as drug-free sleepers and then fall back to sleep as quickly as ones given standard sleeping pills once the threat is gone.
Huh. So what's the most powerful over-the-counter sleeping pill that you can take?
Over-the-counter?
Over-the-counter? Yeah. I don't know.
I take melatonin.
Yeah.
But you have, like, different milligrams that you can take. You know, like, anywhere from, like, 1 milligram, I think, up to, like, 10 milligram. And usually, depending on...
It's a natural sleep aid, right?
It's a natural sleep aid, right? Yeah. So as far as, you know, like going back to being sober, like I didn't want to take anything that was like kind of...
druggy.
Even on, anywhere near the threshold of like being a drug.
Yeah.
So, you know, I found out that melatonin was like the most natural thing that you could take.
Right.
People will take like NyQuil and... and
but that's not like... It's not supposed to be used for that. NyQuil.
Oh, for sleep aid?
Right, right.
No.
ZQL is.
ZQL?
ZQL is the...
what's
the,
that?
It's the alternative to NyQuil. It's the same company, I think Vicks or whatever makes it, but it's not to treat cough and cold. It's basically just to help you get to sleep.
It has melatonin in it, like what case?
I didn't know that.
The sleep aid, yeah.
ZQL.
It's new.
ZQL,
Is it, besides melatonin, does it also have whatever's in NyQuil that knocks you out, too?
It must. It's got to be similar ingredients.
I don't know. It says it's a botanical blend.
Oh. Yeah, it's what they use during lethal injections.
Oh, we had talked briefly last week about insomnia, and so my cousin suffers from that often, and he'll take melatonin, but then he also takes the spray that he'll spray under his tongue.
Wow,
because he's got tinnitus like you, Press.
Yeah,
and so that will keep him up, along with just not being able to sleep. I don't know if it's like anxiety or what the deal is. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Wasn't aware. But they were saying that you need to beware because you may not wake up from...
If an alarm is going off in your ear.
Yeah. I tell you what, one night for no particular reason, our smoke alarm went off, and it's one of those entire house smoke alarms.
Yes, yeah.
Every floor and every room has a smoke alarm, and it makes noise. And I mean, like, I shot out of bed, and there was no fire or anything. Every single one of my kids didn't... budge. Did not even the slightest bit move.
Did they not hear it?
They didn't hear it.
So you asked them the next morning and they literally didn't hear. That's
no idea.
Crazy.
It's obnoxiously loud.
You're crazy, man.
I don't know how the hell they slept through it, but they just sleep that soundly.
This actually started a conversation in the fire alarm industry, in the residential fire alarm industry, and they came out with these devices that are actually, you can record yelling to them. And so it's your voice, fire, get out of it, and so that's the alarm they're hearing, and they'll key off that because that sounds familiar. That's a panic sound that they can lock onto even if they are semi-lucid.
I clearly need to get one of those.
Yeah.
Because my kids will sleep through a 5-alarm blaze.
You should set the alarm for all sorts. Clean your room!
Yeah.
Clean your room! Clean your room! Clean your room!
All right, well, anyhow, I just thought I'd bring it up. I know that there are several people that are kind of doing this Sober January thing.
It seems to be.
But I'd never heard the term Sober Curious before, and I found that kind of intriguing. So,
speaking of Sober January, Press, why don't you give one of those away?
Let's give away a case of beer.
Right?
How about that? Yard Signature IPA. How's about ya? You know what? I'll split some with you on my birthday.
Yes. Why not?
We'll take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to give you Yard Signature IPA. Wherever you go, bring the good stuff. Bring quality. Bring tradition. Bring Yards. 215-263-WMMR. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Still. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Still Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Still Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And you see the face I just made?
Yeah, what's that about?
I was eating a banana, which is kind of like my mid-morning snack.
Something go wrong?
Had the last bite of banana.
Oh, no.
It's a little mushy, man. I couldn't tell by looking at it. And
May I suggest something?
Just squished. It was nasty. What?
No banana February?
Let me get through Sober January first.
All right.
Bush. I've had bad luck with bananas recently.
Banana February.
I buy them. I buy six at a time. And I wait and I wait and I wait because I can't stand the green bananas.
Right.
And then I inevitably end up with two.
They
that are too brown.
Well, they that's the deal. Bananas they ripen very quickly.
Yeah, it's like
it
avocados.
Takes like one day you can get a green one. The next day it's yellow.
What the hell?
What the hell is that all about?
What's the hell?
What is with
well,
that
don't buy
crap?
Six bananas. Buy four.
I like buying six.
All right,
it's my.
You can't be picky about it.
Man. How about a compromise? Five.
Okay. Five. All
five.
Right.
All right. Fair enough. We met in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, by the way, so I had mentioned we played LaGrange from ZZ Top. And, of course, music is written about love and loss and beloved locations,
yes.
among other things. And celebrity cruises researchers, of course, they travel all over the world, analyzed the lyrics of over 200,000 songs that charted in the top 40 U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and U.K. official singles charts since 1960 to find mention of cities, towns, neighborhoods, and states. And ultimately, the research narrowed it down to a set of 2,000 songs by 896 artists with 420 different locations from around the world being mentioned. What do you think were some of the top spots
that are mentioned in songs?
Yeah, I found this really interesting.
Rutledge? New York?
Rutledge.
Yeah. Rutledge.
In the top 10, Casey, right. But it's in there somewhere. Anybody else want to? Steve said New York. Anybody else want to mention?
Bermuda and Bahama.
Come on, Pretty Mama.
Come on, Pretty Mama.
Well, San Francisco.
Okay.
Left my heart
now
there.
You're talking about language.
That's right.
Absolutely knee-deep in human fecal matter. And loving it.
No, the number one by far was New York.
Ah, all right.
161 songs out of the 2,000.
I think there's far too many New York songs.
I mentioned New York. There are a lot of New York songs. Rattle off a few off the top of your head.
New York State of Mind. New York. Yeah. New York State of Mind.
Or it doesn't have to be the title. Just mentioned in New York.
Okay.
You know, so
what's the, New York State of Mind.
What's the Jay-Z one?
Oh, that's with Alicia Keys?
Yeah. Yeah
that's a great song.
New York, Empire State of Mind? Empire something.
Empire State. Then you have several, you know, like Simon and Garfunkel songs that mention New York City.
Chicago.
Up there.
That toddling town.
What about Huey Lewis in the News? Do they mention that in the Hot Rock and Roll?
New York isn't everything they say. No place that I'd rather be.
Wah, wah.
Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, not mentioned in this particular, I haven't looked at the whole list, but if you remember, especially in the late 1950s, Philadelphia, PA,
yes.
was mentioned over and over and over. It was
hot
kind of
bed of music.
It was an easy go-to if you wanted PA to rhyme with something. You wanted the A sound to end and rhyme with something.
Philadelphia Freedom.
There were a number of songs that do mention Philadelphia.
There were two on the soundtrack to the movie Philadelphia, which are great songs. They're not
upbeat party
numbers.
Songs.
They're not party songs, but Streets of Philadelphia by Bruce Springsteen and Philadelphia by Neil Young are gorgeous songs.
All right, other places, cities, towns, neighborhoods.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Vegas.
Excuse me. Where is that? That doesn't rank. Let me see. I have the 1, 2, 3, 4.
Did they get
down to
specific
six,
locations?
Seven. I have the top 10 here. And
like Winslow, Arizona?
Sure. Yeah, it can be absolutely because there are some neighborhoods in New York that are mentioned. So
yeah.
It's not just a city. It can be narrowed way down. Yeah, Casey.
What about
Miami is mentioned, yes. And it's, I think, number 7.
Wow.
So number 1 is New York. Number 2 is London.
Okay. London calling and New York State of Mind.
California in general? Like California?
California
dreaming?
Is in 4th place.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It goes New York first, followed by London. Los Angeles is 3rd.
Okay.
Coming in 4th was California. Yeah. And 5th place is Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood. Yeah. Many songs.
Whole lot of mentions.
Mentioned a lot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rounding out the top 10 were Paris.
City of Lights.
Then Miami. Then New Orleans. Was 43rd. Well, not 43rd, but
what about the city of poop?
What?
San Francisco.
San Francisco's not in the top 10.
Huh.
I actually would like to see the Nick.
The ranking.
Can you see if you can find this from Celebrity Cruises? And
it's up on the big screen.
Songs that mention
with 10. Daily cruises leaving to Memphis.
All right, so here we go. New Orleans is 8th, followed by Brooklyn, 9th.
Huh.
And then you have Rome.
Rome.
10th, yes.
That's in Italy.
That would be in the town of Italy. No, yes, it's in Italy, of course. Number 11 is Texas.
Texas.
There you go, Steve. Number 12 is
San Francisco.
That's right.
And Memphis. That was that great song. Walking in Memphis.
Walking in Memphis.
Yeah. Doesn't Paul Simon has a song? Graceland mentions Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah. Going to Graceland.
Number 14 is Georgia.
Georgia. New York State.
That's how it goes.
It does.
Yeah, there's a pause.
Yeah.
And then another Georgia.
Yeah.
Harlem was 15th. Angel of Harlem is the first one I can think
great
of.
Great song.
Yeah. Number 16 is Tennessee, followed by Chicago at 17. Then you have Atlanta at 19.
Chicago, that toddling town.
Number 18 is Atlanta. Number 19 is Detroit. And number 20 is Compton.
I bet you that ends up in a lot of the earlier hip-hop and rap songs.
Mm-hmm.
Was it go-to?
Straight out of Compton.
Straight out of Compton. Mm-hmm. Go-to town. To mention. Yeah. Huh. I wonder, have you, would you ever be incited to visit a location based on a song?
Well, I went standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, just for that very reason. I drove across the country, and we were nowhere near Winslow, Arizona, but saw it on the map, and we're like, well, hell, we got to go there. And so we did and took a picture. And
there's a statue now, you know.
Of me?
No, there's a statue of, who is there?
Glenn Frey.
Glenn Frey, yes. Yeah.
While we were in London, I mentioned this to you, Nick, and I ended up not doing it, but in which song is it? I think it might be Who Are You from The Who, which, by the way, a concert announcement. They're coming to town in May. But yeah, I think it's Who Are You. Roger Daltrey mentions several places in London.
Yeah.
Like, so I woke up on a Soho floor. And, you know, I took the tube back to the rolling pin, and he starts to name all these locations. I'm like, I wouldn't mind going and see where those locations are because I've sung that song.
They mentioned in the song.
So much in my life that I wouldn't mind seeing where these places are.
What was it?
When we were walking around London, we walked through Mayfair. That's right out of Werewolves of London.
Yeah.
Lately, he's been overheard in Mayfair.
When James Corden did the driving in cars with the comedians or whatever James Corden version of the thing is.
Yeah, yeah.
With
karaoke.
That's it. When he was in with McCartney, didn't they do sort of a Penny Lane tour at one point? They were driving.
Yes, they did. They went to McCartney's old his home that he grew up in, and they hit some of the barbershop and all that stuff.
Yeah, so they drove down Penny Lane,
right.
And he's pointing out, yeah, here's the barbershop, here's where the pretty nurse was selling poppies from a tray.
That's
it was
cool.
In this roundabout, you know, and so
Harper Lee's laser tag.
Places like that. They swung by Harper Lee's laser tag on Route 13. So anyhow. Yeah, I am intrigued by songs that or that locations that have been put into song. And why not? You know, just go ahead and take a look if you can.
What about Bodies of Water?
Bodies of
in music?
Yeah. I'll take Bodies of Water for $200.
Okay, name a couple.
New York. What about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? Where did that happen?
That happened on Lake Superior.
Lake Gichigumi.
Lake Gichigumi.
The big lake they call Gichigumi. Mm-hmm. The legend is said that gives up his dead when the gale's November.
All right, so The Ocean by Led Zeppelin.
Yes.
Does that mention any specific oceans?
Actually, when we were writing it, we were thinking of the Indian Ocean.
Well, here in the Ballad of John and Yoko, the honeymoon and down by the Seine. So there you
okay.
go.
Yeah. I think
Mississippi River. Come on, guys. You with me?
From what song?
That I is don't a know. Body of water.
Right? Mississippi Queen.
Do we all agree that that's a body of water? I do agree, Casey.
I think that list has yet to be made, the bodies of water references.
Call now if you know songs with bodies of water mentioned in them.
Caribbean Queen.
Caribbean Queen.
Don't you want me, baby?
Baby. Hey! Stupid Chips Ahoy.
While we're finding out about bodies of water, Marissa found out Philadelphia mentioned in songs.
All right.
And there's a few of them here. How about I-76 by G Love and Specials?
It's a great song.
Yeah, that was a playoff of the 76ers song, right?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of these I don't know. Fall in Philadelphia by Hall & Oates. I don't know that song. Freedom of 76 by Ween. I don't know that.
See, Ween's a local band.
Daryl yeah. Hall's Philly Mood is a great song.
That is a great song.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I don't know.
Is Sailing into Philadelphia on there? Mark Knopfler?
Yes.
That's a great song.
Sailing by Christopher Cross?
Sailing to Philadelphia. No, no,
no. By Mark Knopfler. No.
Mark Knopfler. And Steve, it sort of flew under the radar. He released it post Dire Straits. And I think he wrote it with Jackson Browne. I'll look it up. But it's a great song.
All right. Here are ones you know. Motown Philly from Boyz II Men.
Yeah.
Philadelphia by Neil Young. Philadelphia Freedom by Elton John. Punk Rock Girl, Dead Milkmen, mentions Philly in there a few times. Went to the Philly Pizza Company. What else here? Streets Philadelphia and Bruce Springsteen. Summertime, DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Great song.
And the Fresh Prince, of course. These other ones I don't know.
Sailing to Philadelphia was with James Taylor and Van Morrison by Mark Knopfler.
No kidding.
Came out in 2000. It's an awesome song, great record, and a nice homage to Philly.
Hey, do you know what the actual title, according to this, of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the name of that song is? It's not the theme to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
What is it called?
It's called Yo Home to Bel-Air.
Yo Home to Bel-Air? And I always thought it was Parents Don't Understand or something like
no,
that.
No, it's a different song. Parents Just Don't Understand.
Is it the theme song to?
It's not a theme song. It was a hit for him.
All right.
That was his first hit. Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
I am confused.
they had Parents Just Don't Understand. And then what was the follow-up to that?
The one where he goes driving.
Yeah. Wait.
No, Nightmare
Parents,
on My
same
Street.
Song.
Parents it Don't is. Drive?
Yeah.
Put my foot on the gas.
We almost got whiplash. It took off so fast.
That's a different song?
That's the same song.
Nightmare on My Street? Was that the follow-up one?
I think it was. It's wait, Nightmare. No, it wasn't Parents Just Don't Understand. It's, what was the first hit?
Parents Just Don't Understand is the
Are
first
sure?
hit.
Sure?
Yes.
That was Ooh. The first one.
Please pull up his right. freaking.
You know God what I'm blaming for this?
What?
Sober January.
Yeah. I remember I could fight Mike Tyson.
Parents just.
Girls ain't nothing but trouble.
A Nightmare on My Street.
Hate to burst your bubble. Girls of the world ain't nothing but trouble.
All right. Just don't understand.
So any.
hey.
So anyhow, you got me by the roots mentions Philadelphia as well. And by the way, Marissa pulled up San Francisco's list is 20 pages long.
Damn. 20 pages.
That's a whole lot.
That's a whole lot of poop.
All right. Well, Bodies of Water mentioned.
Jeez. We're actually getting some, like there's random bodies of water mentioned, but not within
no,
a,
like
a
name.
Song. Yeah,
yeah there's
name.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
know
yeah.
Like Waterfalls by TLC. Yeah. They're not just, going like Victoria, yeah. Niagara.
Yeah.
Don't go chasing Bushkill Falls. That's in the middle of Pennsylvania. You don't want to go there. I'm going to go to Sean. Sean, you're on the air. Good morning.
Privilege.
Privilege.
What's up, Sean?
Not much, man. There's a whole song about sitting on the dock of a bay.
Yeah, San Francisco Bay. Headed for the Frisco Bay.
Yeah, it's a great song, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
All right.
Otis Redding. Beautiful
Stand
song.
Corrected.
All right, thank you.
What's the Thames? Go to number two if you could.
Hang on a second. I got to take it in.
I'll be sitting when the eve comes.
This is a great great song.
Watching my mom would listen to this over and over and over again.
Love this song.
Yeah, play your saxophone.
Just go to the record player and just, you know, when the song was over, just play it over again. Either that or that was Maverick in Top Gun.
So either your mother or Maverick did this?
Oh, my God. Hey, here's one for you. See, Blue Bayou by
Linda Ronstadt.
Linda Ronstadt. That's yeah. a fantastic song.
And that's originally a Roy Orbison song, is it not?
Might be. It's somebody else yeah. for sure, but I'm not sure who did that. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. Music about Bodies of Water, please.
I think the Clash London Calling mentions the Thames, if memory serves.
Okay. London Calling mentions the Thames. Yeah, it could. All right.
It
I guess it doesn't have to be the title.
No, it doesn't have to be the title. It'd be ridiculous.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate
We're not idiots.
It. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Come on.
What about... wait a minute. Look at the title of this.
Which one?
Billy Joel.
Oh, boy.
Downies to Alexa. It's the Downeaster Alexa. Hi, Tim. How you doing?
First of all, I said the Down Easter election.
I wholeheartedly believe you, sir. Go ahead.
Down East to Alexa.
Block Island Sound. I mean, is there a better Long Island fishing song?
That's a good piece of music. Did you think the amount of mentions of bodies of water would outnumber the? I know this is like sport or not a sport, but do you think the mentions of water would outnumber the mentions of locations like cities? I think cities and towns would.
No question. That's why
they rule.
That's why we brought this up in the first place, is because there songs of bodies of water. Which, by the way, so him getting that wrong, or our interns, Down East to Alexa, Downies to Alexa.
Yeah.
I use my reminder on Siri, Siri app all the time.
Right.
And so what is the name of the Chinese dancers that are coming to the Miriam Theater? Oh, Shen Yun.
Shen Yun, yeah.
Okay, so I, in my Siri, I said... get tickets to Shen Yun. I want to take my son to see this because he's in Color Guard. And so, you know, they do all this choreography.
I'm going too.
It looks really cool. Yeah. So I told Alexa, remind me, get tickets to Shen Yun. You know what it printed?
What?
I swear to God, Casey, it says, look, I'm showing it to you. Get sushi in Newland.
No.
Well,
get sushi in Newland. Wow.
It's a good recommendation.
And I just left it that way. I'm like, I don't know what that means later on. Well, sure enough, I looked at it this morning. I'm like, what the hell does get sushi in Newland mean? I have no idea. I'm not seeing any that are really worth going to.
No.
And this one, Rio, is that...
My name is... Well, they mentioned the Rio Grande.
Okay.
Down to the Rio Grande. From Lands End to the north, down to the Rio Grande. So the Rio Grande is a river. Yeah. So.
But I thought they were talking about Rio de Janeiro, right?
Yeah. Possibly.
Well, it's about a girl named Rio.
Oh, I thought it was about
her name is Rio.
Her name is Rio, and she dances on the sand.
New York, New York.
Copacabana.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Sober January.
Hey, did you guys know that, speaking of bodies of water, if you say Pacific Ocean really fast, it sounds like pine cone?
Say it. Say it.
Go ahead.
No, you do it.
No.
Are you ready? Pine cone.
Yeah, thank you.
I made up that joke on Christmas Eve.
Oh, my God.
Because we were doing St. Nicholas and Santa Claus. And I said it. I was driving home from Mass with my mom and my three kids. And I said it. And I started laughing so hard that I had to pull over because I couldn't see. I couldn't breathe.
Wow.
I sat on that for weeks, guys.
You sat on that pine cone.
Oh, my God. That's better.
I don't even know what to do.
I want to describe Kathy's facial expression. She's like biting the corner of her lip, just shaking her head going,
I don't know.
It's like, poor man.
Like she found like a crashed alien vehicle.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it?
What do we do with this?
I don't know what to do.
I don't know.
It's when contempt meets disgust.
How do you even...
on your face.
How do you even revive them?
I love looking at your face. Are you ready?
Pine cone. I said it so fast.
I couldn't pine even cone. Tell.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
It went better than I thought it was going to go, guys.
Oh, we can only expect more of those then. Wow. All righty. Thank you for your calls. Appreciate that. I do want to mention one more thing that I found hilarious. We might be able to open up the phones eventually on something like this, but there's a video that I saw this morning about technological advancements that have created a great divide between Generation Z and just about everybody else. Well, a dad in Illinois illustrated it in a video for two teenagers. And what he did is a guy named Kevin Bernstead gave these two teenage boys 4 minutes to complete a task. So what you do is you see the video, and from behind the camera, Bernstein gives Jake and Kyle Bernstead the instructions. The boys lift the box. He says, you have 4 minutes to complete this. And underneath the box is a cream-colored rotary telephone that they just kind of stare at. And he goes, you have 4 minutes to dial this phone number. And they sit there, Steve, and you watch the whole thing, and they can't
figure out how to do it. You would think that even like in a movie or an old TV show or something, you might have seen that.
They start by, number one, see if you push the numbers, if anything happens. So they're just putting their fingers in the rotary phone holes.
That is really funny.
And then they decide that what you have to do is, you have to start at zero. and put your finger in the hole of zero and then move it to the number that you want, trying to dial. So they start doing that. They're doing it over and over, nothing. And then one of them goes, no, wait. Okay, you start on the number you want, and you go all the way around to this metal thing, and then you stop and you let go.
All right, so they're going.
So they figure that part out. They dial the whole number. And well, actually, before that, they realized they messed up, and they stopped, and they're like, well, how do we reset it? And they go, oh, you need to pick up the handle and set it back down.
All right.
And so, and then they eventually, they dial the whole number, and then they can't figure, they didn't realize you have to take the handle off.
Oh,
first.
My God! And like, so, he picks it up after.
So they get, Steve, they weren't able to do it. They weren't able to finish it in 4 minutes. It is awesome. And they're just confused, and they're sitting there going, we're stupid. We're stupid. We can't figure this out.
No, but, you know, this is, this is antiquated technology. It's like an analog watch or clock these days. A lot of people are having trouble, telling the time.
And that's what the issue of, not an issue, but this is the point of the whole thing, is that as difficult as it is to learn new pieces of technology,
right, yeah.
It is just as difficult for those who feel technologically advanced to go back and use something that they have no idea what it is. So while you're setting up, you know, the smartphone for somebody who's older in their lives and they can't quite grasp it and you don't understand how they don't get it, they could pull the same thing on you by pulling up an old, antiquated piece of technology and saying, well, here, figure this out.
When you're running a rotary phone like that, that won't work unless it's been retrofitted on a landline that takes tones, right?
No, people still have Gary Lauer has a rotary phone.
Is it Gary or Dave McKay?
I think it was Gary. Because Dave McKay always wins contests. There's no way you can do that on a rotary phone.
Oh.
Did you guys have rotary phones or no?
Yeah.
I
always wanted one, but we only had the push button ones. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to brag.
Yeah.
Why didn't you have the push button ones?
No, we only had the push button ones. I wanted a rotary one. Those things were fun.
I only have push button phones in this house.
It's got like a little ASMR sort of quality to it.
What you can do, what we found out when I was a kid, because prank calling was just what you did. But we're just messing around with the phone in general. And you know how when you would move the rotor and then let go, it would go click, 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 click,
yep.
click, like
yeah.
that. And it's essentially the same thing as hanging up and taking the receiver off of the phone. You can dial phone numbers without using the rotary at all.
Really?
Yeah, and we used to do it. We tried it.
Wait,
so
what?
So you know how you hang up the phone, the little buttons that you push to hang it up or set the cradle down. If you would go 1, 2, 3 like that, hit it 3 times, that's basically dialing a 3.
Stop it.
Really?
No. Yeah. And you could, and in fact, there's a scene in the movie Manhunter, Steve, where we were first introduced to Hannibal Lecter, and they give him a phone that doesn't have a face on it at all, and he manages to get an outside line, and he would just click it so many times. So if you wanted to dial a 4, it would be, you just hit it 4 times like that, and it would dial a number 4.
That's pretty cool.
You could dial a whole number. It's very laborious. It takes a while.
Yes, but he was locked away for...
But you can do it, and we tried it out. We would call each other trying to do it, and if you're just one off, it won't work. But you just click, 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 click. It's almost like doing Morse code something like that.
So. Yeah, the show I'm here, he's using a gum wrapper, aluminum.
Yeah, he gets an outside line, and then he does it that way. So, it's interesting. I thought it's a very funny video. These kids have no idea.
That's pretty wild.
How the whole thing works. So you can try that out at home if you happen to have a rotary phone and can hook it up. All right, we need to break. I will remind you to stick around because we do have a new Word of the Week prize this week. We have we have 2 rooms, $200 food voucher, and 4 tickets to see Don Felder at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. We're just talking about Winslow, Arizona and the Eagles song. So he will be playing Eagles songs, of course, at Atlantic City, April 6th when that show is. So you need to do the letter of the day at the end of today's show. And also don't forget, coming up later on at 11, your next opportunity to win some money courtesy of MMR's Go Fund Yourself, the contest that we have up and running. Details at WMMR.com. In fact, I've got information on it right here. We'll take a break. Be back in just a moment. B-File Stories on the way.
Start the year off with MMR's fundraising scheme that's totally legit.
So your cash flows low and you need some dough, and I'm like, fund you.
We can overload your pocket with a thousand in cash. And I'm like, fund you, here's a what you do.
Introducing Go Fund Yourself. It's your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times every weekday with a second chance drawing for 10 grand. Tune in weekdays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the MMR app on your fancy thinking phone or at WMMR.com. One random entry is picked each time and wins $1,000 in cash. Plus, everyone who enters qualifies for the second chance drawing to win $10,000. MMR's Go Fund Yourself, sponsored by Armor Metals and Recycling. For all your metal and computer recycling needs, complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and this morning, brought to you by Drexel University. Gain confidence in the online classroom of Drexel University's test drive from February 11th through the 15th. You'll experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. Sign up today at drexel.edu/test drive. A teenage girl accidentally shot herself in the face while taking a selfie with her dad's gun.
Oh, my God.
The Moscow schoolgirl survived the horrific accident but is in the hospital with serious facial injuries, including a broken jaw. Reports say the 13-year-old took her father's pistol without his permission. She locked herself in her bedroom to take the photo with plans to post it on social media to impress her friends. But the gun went off accidentally, and she suffered a broken jaw as a result. Her parents heard the shot and ran into her room in the family's country house outside of Moscow. The incident came during Russia's extended New Year's public holidays. So safe to say she won't be doing that again.
Jesus.
Police say a woman smashed her way into a closed Pennsylvania police station looking for an officer that she had been sexually harassing ever since he arrested her.
So she showed up at the precinct.
Yeah. Police say 27-year-old Ashley Keister used a large cigarette butt receptacle to smash glass doors in the West Wyoming Police Building around 12:45 a.m. Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Once inside, she started rummaging through the filing cabinets.
Wait a second. I didn't know you loved me that much.
The police chief said Keister had been under investigation for harassing an officer who arrested her last year. He says that she sent sexually harassing messages on social media and would call 911 just to talk to him.
Oh, my God. I think I'm in love.
The break-in was caught on surveillance cameras. Keister was charged with aggravated assault on a police officer, burglary, and vandalism. I love this story. There's North Dakota and there's South Dakota. But what about the idea of combining the two into a state called Megacoda?
No. Megacoda. Yeah.
A petition is making its way around the internet asking for the government to merge North and South Dakota into one state. It was created by a user named Dylan Stewart. He says his reasoning for starting it is he thinks that it would be, quote, pretty cool to have a state called Megacoda.
Megacoda would be cool.
Yeah.
He's right.
Some of the responses are great. Victoria Srigley of Fargo said, I don't think it should be combined because they've been separated for so long and it just sounds stupid. More than 3,900 people had signed the petition as of this past Friday with the goal of 5,000 signatures, so well on the way.
Crossing our fingers.
For Megacoda.
Megacoda.
I'd give thumbs up to Megacoda. A woman in China left doctors baffled. Maybe you guys heard about this. After learning that she couldn't hear the sign of men's or hear the sound of men's voices anymore.
Heard about this.
Only women.
Yes.
She made the discovery after she woke up one morning and couldn't hear her boyfriend talking.
Hey!
She recalled feeling nauseous the night before and having ringing in her ears. Concerned, she went to the hospital where doctors attempted to diagnose those bizarre symptoms. An ENT specialist eventually determined that she had what is called reverse slop hearing.
Reverse slop hearing.
I'm guessing it's supposed to be reverse slope hearing, but it says reverse slop hearing.
You've got the reverse slop hearing.
Which prevents her from hearing deeper sounds. Doctor said that stress could have contributed to the condition. She's expected to make a full recovery since the symptoms were treated quickly. So,
step aside, doc. I think I can treat this one.
Yeah, it is. It's reverse slope here.
Reverse slope.
Mm-hmm. I like slop better.
I'm one of those slop procedures, if you don't mind. both ears.
A maintenance man, this is horrible, a maintenance man was decapitated by the rotor of a helicopter near the Tampa Bay Regional Airport. Preliminary information from the Federal Aviation Administration says a helicopter blade struck Salvatore DC's head, who was performing maintenance work on the aircraft. According to the sheriff's office, a caller said that he and another person were using what's called a power cart to jumpstart the copter when it jerked up and came down quickly. And that's when DC was struck in the head by one of the main rotor blades and was killed instantly.
Dear God. Horrible. You know, the few times in my life that I've flown a helicopter, been in a helicopter, you stay acutely aware of where those blades are. He was doing maintenance work, so it wasn't exactly the same thing, but that's a nightmarish situation.
Yeah. Medical examiner's office removed the body from the scene. The incident remains under investigation.
Do you remember that model that got clipped with the plane prop? She survived, but getting into the plane, walked the wrong way, and spinning blade caught the side of her face. But
that's horrible.
She managed to live.
Listen, this story is wild. Snake catchers in Australia have rescued a python which was found covered in hundreds of ticks.
Oh, my God.
Wait, they saved it?
A tick-covered snake, yes. They saved it. The reptile,
and it had herpes.
Which was believed to be ill, was coated in the parasites, and was lying in a backyard swimming pool in Queensland. A professional handler removed the snake and took it for treatment at a wildlife clinic. Vets removed more than 500 ticks, according to snake catcher Tony Harrison. He said it's expected to recovery. He said that he believed that the snake, which has been given the name Nike, had been trying to drown the ticks in the pool.
Oh.
Yeah. Obviously, the snake was extremely uncomfortable. He said its whole face was swollen and blooming, and it was completely overwhelmed by the ticks breeding on him. He said, removing the tick-laden snake had felt like holding a bag of marbles that were moving under my hands.
Jesus.
Snakes often,
another crazy story.
Snakes often pick up small numbers of ticks or other parasites in the wild. However, the presence of such a large number of ticks indicated that the snake was likely to have an underlying illness, possibly due to heat stress or drought conditions. Mr. Harrison later shared that Nike was suffering from an infection, though he is now doing okay. So they saved him and got him out of there. 500 ticks on a python. All right, and there you go. That is the B-File for you for now. When we come back, we'll see if you've been paying attention. We will have a lesson question for you, and we'll also get into trash and music news. Those things coming up. Or music news. One or the other. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Ghost. This friendship, this chip is now coursing through your soul. Bad Wolves. The Struts.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We're jump starting our work week trying to get things moving. Very difficult for lots of people, especially after a heartbreaking loss last night. Certainly doesn't help. But nonetheless, we'll do what we can to crank things up and get the engine started and moving for the rest of the week. We're going to do today's lesson question. And we're going to give away a pair of vouchers to see the Philadelphia Wings play. Yes, they are back. So the question that I have for you this morning, I kind of like this one. Which book combines a sad story, an uplifting message, and the peers in Wildwood? 215-263-WMMR. Which book combines a sad story, an uplifting message, and the peers in Wildwood, New Jersey? 215-263-WMMR. In order to know the answer to this, you had to have been listening earlier this morning. So if you indeed do, make sure you call us right now. We'll see if you can get through and win. In the meantime, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
That is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. New handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2 from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Alex Honnold, who free climbed the 3,000-foot El Capitan Mountain in 2017 without a rope, revealing that he never once thought about death, Arnold says the only thing he thought about was, quote, forgetting the goddamn rope. Tom Sizemore off to a bad new year, getting arrested during a traffic stop and possessing both heroin and meth. Still, Sizemore says he's making progress and has completely kicked flavored chapstick. So, baby steps. And finally, R. Kelly's house in Trump Tower was raided on Friday as police investigated reports that two women were being held hostage. Kelly himself is not on the premises and is believed to be hiding out as the Golden Shower Chipmunk on The Masked Singer.
All righty, we'll try to give some away here, see if we can get the correct answer. So trying to find out which book combines a sad story, an uplifting message, and the piers in Wildwood, New Jersey. And I will go to Brendan for that answer. Hey, Brendan, how you doing?
Good.
Brendan, what's the title of that book, please?
Tuesdays with Maury's Pier.
Yes! Tuesdays with Maury's Pier. Hang on a second, Brendan. We'll gather your information and we will give you a prize for being so astute and aware. And we will give you a pair of vouchers to see the Philadelphia Wings. And the Wings are back. You can join the party and expect the unexpected. Visit wingslax.com to buy your game tickets today. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! And it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. New handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2 from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. So it's Dave Grohl's birthday today. Dave turns 50 years old, so it's a big milestone birthday. Yeah. Normally, I will kind of glance over the birthdays, but for a big one like that, I try to take just a moment and remind you what somebody like this has achieved in their life. He was born in Warren, Ohio. Grew up mainly in the Virginia area and started playing at a young age in several Washington, D.C. hardcore and punk bands, most notably Scream. While playing in Scream, Dave became friends with the Melvins frontman, Buzz Osborne, who came to see the band play at a West Coast show in 1990 and brought his friends Kurt Cobain and Chris Novoselic from Nirvana. Both were impressed with Grohl's drumming, and Novoselic invited Dave to come to Seattle and audition for the group. He ended up joining in late 1990, entered the studio with the band in the spring of 1991 to record its second album, Nevermind. The album, boosted by the anthemic single Smells Like Teen Spirit, became a worldwide phenomenon, opening the way for grunge and modern alternative rock movements and making Nirvana into superstars. Dave was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of that band in 2014. And following the death of Kurt and the end of Nirvana in April 1994, Dave took a few months off. Consider his next move. He ended up recording a 15-song demo almost entirely by himself that was released in July of 1995 as a self-titled debut from Foo Fighters. Recruiting three other band members, the lineup would change a few times. Dave took Foo Fighters on the road and launched the band's own path to success. And Foo Fighters has released a total of 9 studio albums over the years.
It's amazing.
Dave has also branched into other areas of entertainment, as you know. He directed both a documentary about the legendary Sound City Recording Studios and all 8 episodes of the HBO series that chronicled the making of Sonic Highway. So the guy is just a creative masterpiece himself and continues on that success. So happy 50th birthday to Dave Grohl. Linkin Park vocalist Mike Shinoda has tweeted his reaction to hearing Cross Off, which is the solo song from Lamb of God guitarist Mark Morton that featured a vocal performance from Chester Bennington. Shinoda tweeted, "I remember when Chester played this song for me in his car, almost finished. He was really happy with it. Good stuff, Mark." Bennington recorded his vocals for the song in April of 2017, just 3 months before taking his own life at his California home. Morton tweeted about the song, "Cross Off was a very free-flowing and natural process. Everyone that worked on it put a lot of energy and emotion into it, and I feel like you can really hear that the track, and absolutely, you can hear that in the track and absolutely Chester's performance." Jack White's Reactivated Raconteurs will release a 3-inch single this Record Store Day, which is April 13th, and it'll be part of a series of 3-inch singles, which will apparently be accompanied by a special Crossley turntable to play them. The song that appears on the single, at least in the image that was released, is an older track called Store-Bought Bones and not something from the Raconteurs' upcoming new LP. This isn't the first time that White has recorded 3-inch records. In 2005, the White Stripes released a miniature record player called a triple iconophone, along with a series of 3-inches that now fetch big bucks through online marketplaces. Excuse me. All That Remains guitarist Oliver Ollie Herbert signed a will 1 week before his death that named his wife Elizabeth Herbert as executor and sole benefactor. According to the Hartford Courant, the will that Ollie had signed on October 9th also stated his sister, Cynthia Herbert, should not become executor or receive anything from his estate. The document also states that Elizabeth should get all property as well as any current or future earnings. Ollie signed the will at a Hartford, Connecticut car dealership. The will was notarized by a person who was a friend of the guitarist and his wife and who works at the dealership.
He signed the will at a car dealership?
He had to get it notarized.
Oh, all right.
So if you've ever, like, I've had friends who are notaries.
Right.
And I've gone to wherever they work and just, you know, get it done there. The Connecticut State Police Eastern District Crime Squad is examining the 11-page will as well as life insurance policy mentioned in the document. Meanwhile, Elizabeth said that she recently filed a police report for after four men trespassed on the property where her husband's body was found 3 months ago. In a now-deleted post on her late husband's Facebook page, she wrote, "I'm making this post today. Now, something very disturbing happened yesterday. A group of four men trespassed onto my property to go poking around where Ollie's body was taken out of the pond. The police were called and the report was filed." She said, "I know that there's been a lot of talk about everything going on with the property and the estate. The house is still and will continue to be very much occupied with the family home. And the family home, and it's considered private property, and anybody who trespasses will be reported to the police, and charges will be pressed for trespassing and disturbing the peace." By the way, the death was treated as suspicious, so they are still investigating that. And then one last thing, it's Free Music Monday, and I have a copy of the new Papa Roach album called Who Do You Trust? And this is before it hits stores on Friday. It's available through 117 Music, so let's take caller 11 then. At 215-263-WMMR, new from Papa Roach, you get the album, Who Do You Trust? That's right. Call 11. So call now, and we will set you up. And also, reiterating some concert information from earlier this morning, The Who is coming to town. MMR is excited to rock this show at Citizens Bank Park, May 25th, and tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. And if you're good and you stick around, Pierre might have some tickets for you. In fact, a pair of tickets to give away every day this week. So there you go. You have been informed. And that's music news. We're taking a break. We're coming back. We're going to get that letter for that Word of the Week prize, which I'll tell you about when we return. Stay with us.
Whether you've got an Amazon Echo, Spot, or Dot, make sure you first enable the MMR skill. Alexa, enable MMR. Once you do, it's easy as pie to listen to MMR's live stream, the Preston and Steve Daily Podcast, or the Bizarre Files. Your wish is our command with simple voice-activated access to WMMR. Alexa, open MMR.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks, bringing us up to the end of our broadcast day, but the door closed. Closes and then it slides right back open. Pierre Robert will be in here momentarily to take you through the rest of today, this Monday, as we're working on moving on to another week, another chapter of our lives, another Word of the Week prize coming up. I would thank our guests, but it's just been us. So thank you, Steve, Casey, Nick, Marissa, and Kathy.
And thank you.
And thank you. God bless us, everyone.
Yeah. Hey, Barkan said he would have come on at the Eagles won, so thanks to
Michael. We would have had him. Yeah. Thank you to Michael Barkan, who would have been on the show today. But the Eagles lost, and, well, there you go.
It is what it is.
Yep. Tis.
Onward and upward to next year.
We got other things to get to. Pierre Robert is indeed here in the studio. How are you today, sir?
I didn't know the boys in blue had gone down in defeat.
Yeah.
Until I just heard you say it.
Very moment?
Yeah, I didn't watch. Well, I tuned in at one point, and they were ahead by 2 or 3 points. I said, best that I not watch.
Right.
And off I went.
Yeah, you tried to do the right thing.
I tried to do the right thing. I found when I stay away from it, they do better. And, that you know.
And when you stay with it, they don't do so like well. Or do you ever stay with it?
An argument could be made that no.
Did you go to the parade last year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Well, he was there with us.
We were all
forgot.
There.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Right. That was just a magnificent day. I've never really experienced a day like that in Philly history.
Yeah.
I was at the Phillies parade too, but the Eagles thing was just something magical in the air that day when we were all up on the balcony of that condo. But these sports, what do they call them?
Enthusiasts, fanatics?
Superstitions. Yes. And I think, don't you have lots of them, Casey?
I do. I thought
you don't
after,
wear a certain thing and you don't, you know, comb your hair, you, whatever it is you do.
All of it. I thought I had been cured of it after the Super Bowl win last year, but no, it came back with fury and anger this past season, especially as the season had gone along, it had come back. But, hey, listen, you know, what happened last night happened, and if you would like to relive the glory years and days, Marissa put together a really awesome blog of what we did last January and February. It really was a magical time for the city of Philadelphia last year, and for the next remaining month or so, maybe a little bit less, the Eagles are still your reigning Super Bowl champions.
There you go. See?
Boom.
So there it is. I, non-sports guy, fell victim to sports superstitions.
Oh, you did?
Well, by virtue of the fact that I didn't watch it,
you
that
saw them
was
ahead?
Somewhat superstitious.
Yeah, that's what I do, honestly. I never see a win when I watch them play, so I don't.
Wonderful about that is it takes literally no effort whatsoever. So congratulations, guys.
Well, I also find though that I get too anxious when I watch it if it's close.
Right.
The anxiety.
Well, yeah, that's the drama of sports. Right. You know, that's why some people like to really dive into it because they love that. You know, what I thought about if they were going to go at least one more game.
Yes.
I wanted to try something else. I thought it would have been pretty cool, but there's no way. Case, I wanted to have Dr. Mike hook up a heart monitor to
oh, my God, yeah.
And note the time stamps during the game.
To Casey?
To Casey.
Oh, my God.
And watch what things were happening your heart rate was affected by it. Because you know it clearly is to anybody
absolutely.
Who's a fanatic about sports. You know, I mean, anything can happen, and especially at a do-or-die moment. That rate goes up. You feel your pulse quickening and all that. I would love to have done that. We'll have to chew for next season.
There was actually an article that I was looking for because I heard it mentioned on one of the television news programs that said a ardent fan such as yourself watching a game, it's akin to a full workout.
Yeah. And it really only comes into play during the playoffs when it's do or die. Lose, you're out.
Yep.
That's when your heart, I would imagine, would really go through. At least during the season, you can go, okay, it's a loss, it sucks, but we're not dead. You know?
Yeah, and I had tried to remain calm the last couple of games. I you know what? And listen, I did okay yesterday, believe it or not. And I did really great last week as far as just kind of like trying to remain
zen.
A little bit zen.
Metered.
Metered.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, you don't watch it, so what do you do then?
I will jump in, and if they're ahead, I quickly tune away.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's my promise that I made to Casey. The most arduous was last year. I really didn't watch the Super Bowl until I heard the fireworks outside the house, and I DVR'd it, and then I watched the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Cool.
Well, now I'm just, you know, I'm going to be all tense waiting to see who the Oscar nominees are going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're holding on to.
There's always suspicion.
You know what? Let's do the heart monitor that night.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
All right. We got the hockey.
Yeah.
We got the hockey.
Yeah. So
we got the hockey and we got the basketball.
Eat your heart out, Barkan.
Yeah.
I'm coming on your show.
Yeah. School you.
Got to talk about the hockey.
Yeah. Sports up, baby.
Why don't we do the letter? We do know you have that.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
D as in don't give up.
All right, D is the letter. And we have two rooms, $200 food voucher, and four tickets to see Don Felder at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. That'll be April 6th. So there you go. You got a night out in AC. And tickets are on sale Friday at Ticketmaster.com. So we'll give that away on Friday, which is cool. What is up on today's program, sir?
Well, zillions of things. We've got the GoFundYourself, $1,000 opportunities at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m.
11!
Sorry, at 1 p.m. 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Also, I'll have... We'll have meditation with Guru Pierre. Very nice. I think we've achieved a bliss.
Double eel.
We'll have free Music Monday, Papa Roach, and that's very much like meditating, listening to Papa Roach, and the new album. Also, we will celebrate Dave Grohl's birthday, as you referenced earlier, with a gigantic workforce block of a lot of his music. And, as you mentioned, I believe I have a pair of Who tickets.
Woohoo! That you do, sir.
So, I've got quite a stacked program.
All right. Well, Pierre should be a nice distraction for your friend if you're fixated on last night's game. He's good for what ails you.
Good for
is that right?
That's right.
What? It's good for what ails
I'm
you.
Your
it's
doctor. Monday. Yeah, I'm your Zen guy.
All right, let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Also brought to you by Drexel University. Experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. You can go to drexel.edu/test drive. And by Gary Barbera on the Boulevard. Is Barbera the best? Boy, I guess. Tomorrow on our program, our buddy Craig Gass is in town.
Yeah.
So he's stopping by. We'll spend some time with him and give some stuff away and have a good time. That's it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
You say, and all your bullshit after the game, still a better team than you. Go Eagles.
Next message.
I love this team. You make every day so much brighter. The thing.
Next message.
We love you, Nick Foles. Thank you for everything. You'll be dearly missed. But
hey, mama.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.